This is Q Talk America.
The following broadcast contains adult humor, language, and topics, along with partial nudity. Actual knowledge is used sparingly. The show is a result of a lost bet and a bad game of rock, paper, scissors. It's the show with Clayton McKee. And now, a man with a face for radio, Clayton McKee.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's just a couple minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock here in Phoenix, Arizona. I am Clayton McKee, the proud director of this cavalcade of love and tenderness we like to call the show. It's Q Talk America.
Good evening. I feel like you just got a promotion.
I know. I was like, wow.
But you know what? Same pay.
Same pay.
Yeah. HR know about this?
That's magnanimous of you to not take the pay raise.
I do what I can here at our humble studios. Thank you all for listening all around the world. So many people in the chat room already. Don Don from North Carolina and Jenny and Anant and Amina. Luis Antonio from Brazil. Aaron from LA is in there.
Jenny.
My mom. Mama Di is in there. Everybody is just lit up the chat room. Thank you all for doing
and
so.
And thank you, Jenny, for being a smartass about me being on time.
That's
nice. Thank
very
you.
Good. Well,
thank
we
you.
Started the show late, so we could accommodate.
On time-ish.
Right. There's Arizona time, and then there's Marnie time, and I don't know how we get those
two. I've only been here 25 years. I'm not familiar with the whole daylight
time,
savings.
And then there's gay time.
Drag standard time. Lesbian
that's right.
time.
BPT time.
Oh,
I'm
yes.
Good. I'm good.
We are, of course, in Studio C in Central Phoenix, and alongside me are my friends Kat Carlson, Marnie Ryer, and Al Perkins, rounding out the
Hola.
Oval table in the studio of love and tenderness.
It's very Arthurian
of us.
It is.
On our
yes.
oval table.
You know, I will tell you one thing. One thing that I noticed as I was cleaning out the studio, I literally just did it today because I haven't been in this room since last Tuesday. And I took the folding chair that Doug was in and the stool that Jason was on and the chair that Boozy McKady was in. And I cleaned it all out and I'm like, oh, I really like the studio much better when it's just the four of us.
It was full.
Oh, it was full. A lot
very
going
busy.
On.
And it always amazes me when people don't understand that you're actually on the air. So when you're having a side conversation between two of you really loud, you either make it part of what we're doing or you do it somewhere else.
Take it outside.
And I didn't know how to kind of go, and so then I just started, I was like, fuck it.
Occasionally you have to work with amateurs.
But I know that I do that anyway. But then I was like, and then it just went. And I thought, I kept going,
That time it was still, we were so far
gone.
It was gone.
Yeah,
yeah.
We were a train in the middle
gone.
Of the ocean. There wasn't even
dear listeners, anymore. I'd like to apologize for last week.
Oh, my heaven's sakes. Well, we had no full control over last week regardless. We were merely a pawn in the game of
we
life.
We were stunned.
We were so upset that we didn't even do disappointment champagne.
We didn't drink sad champagne.
No, that's right. No.
Is it still here? Are we drinking? We're still
no, there's
alive
still champagne in there.
There's
still champagne.
All the
yes.
champagne is still accounted for.
Yes. I feel like we should have some we're not dead yet champagne.
We haven't been stopped and frisked champagne.
Yeah. No, I haven't. Nobody's grabbed my pussy.
No.
I've asked.
Good to know. Good to know.
I've asked.
Oh, was that what that post was about?
Yeah. No.
Oh, I see. I wondered.
However, I don't know if it's connected or not, but both of my cats have seemed very clingy lately. I don't know. Maggie and Marty are very attentive. I don't know if maybe it's the cooler weather.
Yeah, it's for some reason it's cold. It's like this morning I got up so way too early.
Yeah, you were posting stuff on Facebook
really,
way early for you.
Really cold this morning.
It was chilly.
I don't know.
But then all of a sudden at lunchtime when I went for lunch, I'm like, it's fucking hot outside.
Right, no. When I woke up this morning, if I'm not mistaken, it was 61 degrees in my hallway. And that's from, excuse me, that's from just ambient outside air. But I have an exhaust fan that pulls air through the entire house, which is lovely. Like back from the Midwest, you and I call. Actually, did you have them in New York? We've talked about this before. Did you have attic fans or whole house fans back east? Did you have them in Minnesota?
What kind of fans?
An attic fan, a whole house fan.
Oh, yeah.
That would be in the hallway. You typically, they're in the hallway, and they draw air in from every window. And
yep.
No? You had none?
We had central air. We weren't open in any. There was no outside air coming in after 1979.
Okay, well, we're back to other people.
I can't stress enough.
Let me explain to you how improv works. It's yes, acknowledge, and move on.
Yes,
so
and.
The no yes, kills and. The no kills the story.
I didn't know we were doing an improv exercise. That's exciting.
Where was I going to go with things about an attic? You know what I mean?
That's
Yes, we did have a house fan. In fact, we were swamp cooler only.
Oh, you had that
in
too.
In Salt Lake.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, high desert.
Yeah, I had
evap.
Very appropriate.
Very,
I just
very
took
dry.
My evap out because it was faltering and I didn't want to deal with it. So I got the window fan, which is just a few inches smaller than an attic fan, which is obviously moves a hell of a lot more air. But I'm thrilled with it again.
But we had like our attic wasn't. It was like. I don't know what's the point to the attic. Our attic didn't have anything.
The attic fan, it's called an attic fan because what it does is it goes in the ceiling of your house inside and it draws air and it pulls cool air into the house and exhausts it through the attic, thereby cooling the attic, cooling the entire house.
Right. Oh no, we were on permanent lockdown my entire life.
Oh, I got it.
In the summertime, the air conditioning was in the kitchen, and then my sister got some mysterious allergy that got us.
Got her
an air conditioner and like
was that a you
it was
your
all
mom?
Closed down and temperature controlled.
I feel like your mom and your sister were in collaboration on this.
No, I don't think. The funny thing is, my mother would just. I feel like she just assigned my sister allergies to make sure that everything was air conditioned because Niagara Falls smelled really bad. The pollution was terrible.
Yeah.
And it really did smell really bad for most of my childhood. Like the smell didn't go away till like the factories died. So, because of that bad smell, my mom was having nothing with the driving with the windows open.
There you go. Keep talking.
There was no, like...
Oh, my goodness.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what she wanted.
Wow.
Like fresh air was kind of not in supply.
Got it.
And being from, I don't know, the coal mines of Pennsylvania, she was expecting
Well, the point of my lovely story was the fact that the overnight lows in Phoenix are getting down to a lovely temperature where open the windows, it pulls fresh air in, sleeping like a fucking rock. I didn't sleep, by the way, I went to, inadvertently, because of business, I went to Denver over the weekend, and I didn't sleep for shit in the hotel. It was a lovely hotel, it's the Curtis Hotel, it's a Hilton, very nice hotel downtown, downtown Denver. I could not sleep for the two nights I was there at all. It was horrible.
Because of the altitude?
No, I just...
That should make you sleepier.
I couldn't
get... No, but I mean, sometimes people have, like...
I couldn't get comfortable. I was either too hot, too cold. I couldn't get comfortable at all. I came here, I slept for almost two fucking days. I was out, and I slept like a rock. It was fantastic. But, anywho. Well, I'd like to say welcome back to all of you. I also would like to a shout out. I don't know if he's in the chat. I haven't seen his name pop up in the chat room. In addition to Joe DeGanzik's nice post on our Facebook page about us not being gone for any extended period of time, there were a couple other notes or posts that I got asking if we were really going to be gone for a while or whatever. And I guess I didn't realize when we were in the middle of the show last week, there were some comments made. I remember making a few comments, but some people took them really to heart that we were like, we're taking the internet down. The lights are coming off. We're going to be gone for a while.
You know, it was a somber mood here.
Yeah. I get it. I wanted to thank Joe for the nice post that nice. He sent us. And it is true. One of the things that I've really grown to appreciate about this show that I still think in some cases is crazy, but we reach out from this little third bedroom of my house. We reach out to people all over the world, and we are, I don't want to say a voice for them, but we are an outlet for them.
And a conversation.
We're a conversation. We are a morning show on the other side of the world for a lot of people that don't have things like this. They don't have the freedom of speech that we enjoy in this country, or at least now.
For now.
Yeah.
We don't.
But only it's for just, now.
It's just very nice to know that we are, that we're looked up to as some sort of a light in someone's life with regards to we're funny or we're informative. They know they're not alone. We've received other emails over the course of time that have told us that we are, you know, somebody may have been contemplating doing things that they shouldn't do to themselves because they were in a bad spot and they listened to us and they found cheer or they found humor or felt that they weren't alone. So I thank all of you out there who listen and enjoy our show and download it and email us and message us because it's crazy, but it's a great little family we've amassed out there all over the world. And just for me personally, thank you for that. That's why we gather here. I mean, though we all like each other and it's kind of therapeutic.
Speak for yourself. It's
I'm wondering if in some of those cases this show was just painful enough. They realized that enough pain.
Right. That's, I gotta go.
Out could it. All right.
Well, and if I may on that to piggyback on that, one of the biggest thank yous that I need to throw out that I haven't is to Amina.
You're welcome. Oh.
Oh. Different aminos.
Yeah, different. Not
it's spelled cat.
Not cat. Yes.
So when you pronounce your name, the cat is silent.
Correct. Yes. The cat is silent in
case. Please continue with your heartfelt thank yous.
Pray thank you.
I didn't mean to ruin them.
But no, I really want to shout out to Amina. She was wonderful last week in sending a private message. And I was more affected than I thought that I was with everything. And when I left here, I knew that I was leaving to go to Aaron, who was far more affected than, quite frankly, anybody that I've bumped into.
Have you been not watching any TV the past week?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people affected.
You know, and in all sense, no, I know that. But I'm saying in my...
In your bubble.
In my bubble. And so it really was wonderful. And I went back, Amina, and read and reread what you wrote. And appreciate it more than you could ever know. And I just, every time I tried to type something or go back respond, I'd either, I'd either like break down kind of or get really angry. And she had said, vent, go ahead and vent. But either way, you know, I just wanted to take that moment. So thank you.
That's very
cool. Thank you very much, Amina. I appreciate it.
Oh, I feel like we're all holding hands just electronically
Kumbaya,
around the world.
Yes.
So we are not going anywhere. Yes, as normal, there are a couple dates throughout the rest of 2016 that we will not have a show just because of staffing. But no, we're not going anywhere. We will still, like I said in the post earlier today, as long as we have internet, I think we'll have a show. So fear not, people, we will be around. Yes. And we'll be back to the normal stuff that we're bullshit headlines,
in
real
about
stories.
25 minutes.
Yes. Al's going to have the entertainment, and then we're going to have two things with Kat Carlson.
Oh my God, I better go find two things.
I'm still working on that theme for you, but I got a little sidetracked.
I can't imagine. It's been. Nothing happens.
It takes two, baby.
Well, I haven't decided yet if I'm singing it. Or if
it takes two from Into the Woods.
Yeah, see?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I wasn't going better. I wasn't going there.
Or Patty Duke.
Carry on. What were you saying?
I haven't decided.
Identical cousins.
Yeah. I haven't decided if I'm singing your theme or if I'm going to have other people, if I'm going to edit it together and have other people sing your theme.
Oh, my God. It's What's Wrong with Katie all over again.
No, because I'm not putting that much time into it.
You know what, though? That was a highlight last week that we got to hear that song again. Because
we worked really hard on it.
She had a problem. Alcohol.
She definitely brings you to
symptoms. She wasn't the only one at this table that had that alcohol thing happening.
No.
That's funny.
All right, so let's break it down. Your thought, you start, like, your thoughts on this week and the outcome and, like, where you're at emotionally, spiritually, what you've learned. Like, let's just kick this
really,
shit out and then be done with it.
Alcoholically, like, really not much.
Arizona time.
They were all surprised that I didn't drink when I was in... I really didn't drink when I was in Denver because, like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't have any interest. Mm-hmm. And I'm oddly drinking tonight, but for several weeks I haven't drank in the show. I've been doing coffee. And he knows it because he shows up.
I saw a bottle of vodka go down
ago,
you like a week ago.
168 hours ago.
We were watching That's Jason pour those drinks.
Oh, no. I drank that night. Okay. Because I was doing the orange crush thing in an effort. Right. But no, but I have really ramped down on the drinking and I really haven't ramped up this week for it. With regards to last Tuesday, which, like Al said, we're going to get this out of the way in the first part of the show and probably it'll be touched on here and there as we go along. Like everybody else, I was in just disbelief and shock. I didn't think that we were living in a... I didn't think we were... It was a dream. I didn't think we were really doing a show at one point. I'm like, there's no way that what I'm seeing is actual... It certainly wasn't satisfactual. Zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. I'd never... since I was a little kid, I don't recall ever going to bed at night and genuinely being scared and genuinely being concerned. other things, other, a new job, you may have to go to court for a speeding ticket or what have you. There are little things here and there that you may be concerned about. But I have never gone to bed and genuinely felt concerned, not only as an American, but as a gay man in this world, thinking, the fuck is going to happen? I just haven't gone to bed like that. And it was very unsettling. And I don't think I slept, if at all, very well that first night. Then there was the shock, and you know, that got over then the next day, and then you start watching news again, and you start figuring out this little thing and that little thing. And now, as I haven't left the news cycle, I keep watching it. I'm really dumbfounded by what is going on with regards to, they are learning things like, one of the people, the son-in-law, the husband of Ivanka Jared Trump, Kushner, asked somebody in the White House, so how many people stay when, and they're like,
literally none of them.
Like, you get an entire new, it's all you. Like, that's news to them. All of this is news to them. Right. Yeah. They don't know. There was a guy earlier on the news today that said he was part of the transition team for Obama when he went in 08. They're like, we walked in and didn't know how phones worked. So we were more prepared, and we didn't know how phones worked, than these people. And I'm like, okay, you're totally walking in, and you got nothing. Yeah. You got nothing. And I'm like, how in the fuck is this going to happen? And then, of course, they get the other people in, like the Breitbart guy, Bannon, and all these people. And I'm like, where are we going? What is going on? And I'm getting, and I admit that I don't have the grasp of knowledge of all this. And I want to be the typical male that doesn't ever go to the doctor because you never want to find out that anything is wrong. I want to hope that that's what this is going to wind up being, that somehow some other check and balance is going to show up, and they're going to stop this in some shape, way, or form, and be like, you can't do what you think you're going to do. You can't come in and grant security clearances to every fucking person you know. Things have to be held a little tighter to the vest. I'm very concerned. I'm very worried about a lot of things. It's calmed down, but I wish I had answers, and I don't. And I'm not alone. I realize not everybody has answers. But when I keep watching and hearing, I feel a lot of the voices in the news that are telling us they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what this, they da 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 da. I think I feel a little better from a standpoint that, I know that sounds odd, but I feel better that they're coming at this with, somebody's going to have to set them down and tell them how this is how you get in and out of the White House, and this is how the phones work, and you can't just call up people and do shit. There's a protocol you've got to go through, I'm assuming. And I hope to God that there's not.
Yeah, I mean,
when he's in office, somebody said that he wants to give clearance to everybody, and Obama at this point says yes or no.
Kids.
Right, but Obama at this point, this administration says yes or no. But once he's in on the 20th, apparently he can say whatever the fuck he wants, and it can be whoever he wants.
Yeah.
Is there not some other check and balance that comes back and says, Mr. President, you can't do that? Isn't there not somebody else that says, based on security, you can't do that?
Yeah, but I mean, that's like the FBI and stuff like that, but there's no faith left in the FBI. Like, I think that's the one thing we've learned in the last...
Well, and he hasn't even reached out to them, apparently.
Oh.
The FBI, the CIA, like, nothing.
He has not.
And he hasn't even returned calls.
He hasn't. They have reached to him, and he has not. Their entire transition
team... Well, Comey reached out to him in the end of October, so...
Different reach out.
Well, that was different. Right. Well, and also the very interesting piece is that, did anyone notice that Tiffany... Marla Maples' daughter, she got fucked again. Like,
she's
he doesn't
out.
Want to give her any kind of
not
White
pretty
House.
Enough.
Yeah, not pretty. No, she's a four.
But when we left this room, I was in such shock last Tuesday. I didn't know what to do. I was terrified. There's still a lot of me that is. I know a lot of, as we all do, there's a lot of diverse people in our community, people that are married, people that are not married, that are going to get married, have children. I'm just wow. I just don't know what to think. I never thought, with as much progress as we've made in my 47 years of life that I see, I never thought that we would stop that and reverse all of it.
Well, 47 years. Closer to like 51. Like, we want to go back and like get rid of the Civil Rights Act.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
That's the point. I totally get that.
Yeah, that's the point that we want to repeal back to, is like, like guaranteeing voting rights and stuff.
And
like
when
that.
You and you hear on the news and you see all the hate crimes that have already spiked, and apparently because of people are justifying that, well, if the president-elect can say this and that's he gets exactly away with it, we can say it, we can do it. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, of course that's how that works. Listen, you know, I had in a funny, like, personally related anecdote. So, you know, you see the president or the president-elect doing all of these things, and you think, of course I can. Just the same way that I, you know, as my kids have grown older, I've stopped quite censoring my language, and I curse, you know, I curse like a sailor, kind of the regular.
No.
And so now I've got an 11-year-old that wants to fluently curse in the kitchen. Like, literally before I came here, I'm hollering at this kid, because rule number one to cursing was never in front of your mother. And right. I was cursing at his mother. Bad things are happening, right? Wow. This kid's not having a good day.
Right. No.
But yeah, if you see the, you know, someone in authority, someone who should be showing the way, doing something, of course you're going to think you can do it.
And if you're taught respect the respect to that office and respect the democracy and respect all of this, then, and you voted for him or your family voted for him, then it's okay even more. Like, you're
totally
that free pass.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because, like, well, I was.
Now grabbing someone by the pussy is presidential.
Absolutely.
It's
absolutely
literally the presidential way to greet a woman.
Right. It's really not, and I will literally stab someone.
And by the way. Hopefully that's the interactions that come back, is that
yes.
guys somebody start. Stabs. People are saying you can stab. Yeah.
Guys start getting the shit kicked out of them by women who are like, nah. Well,
apparently we can't do that again.
Let's stop doing that.
The 60 Minutes interview was interesting. There's been a lot of interesting stuff to watch with regards to it, and it is interesting to watch how much has already been stepped back. That, again, I guess somewhat comforting, but it's also the fact that they don't know what they're walking into and didn't realize the grand scope of everything, where it's... And I'm sure we've all been guilty before, like, it's Monday morning quarter or armchair quarterbacking. Oh, I could run the country. I could do this. I could do that. No, you have no idea what it entails, what all it goes through. Right. So everybody that's ever said that, which I'm going to venture to guess is probably most of the people that voted for him. Yeah, sure, just run like a business. Well, business has a lot of...
Well, they thought so little of the last person that was in there that they think it's a dumb job. That they it's think a dumb it must job, be right. an easy right, job. Right.
Though, he is the most popular president. I just saw this headline today. He literally is the most popular president of all time, ever. His ratings are just through the roof. It's insane.
Yeah.
And I get frustrated every time they interview another...
At this point in his presidency.
Right. I'm not saying that
he's
it's...
He's the most popular outgoing. There are other presidents that were more popular throughout their presidency,
one that they said today was they gave an overall... It wasn't just outgoing. It was an overall, like, cumulative. She'll look it up. She'll find it. That's what they were saying, that it was a cumulative. Like, they didn't say the word cumulative, but it was like an overall ranking. I'm just astounded still by the people who keep saying, and I don't understand, we got to get the unemployment numbers down. How much fucking lower you want to get them? How much? We're so much lower than we were.
Right.
How much lower do you think it's going to go? How much better?
But then there's the question of, like, who's not trying anymore, and that gets that's the number that gets thrown out a lot, is that it doesn't reflect people who have just stopped looking. Once you've stopped
true
looking
once you stop
job,
looking you fall out
you
of it
fall
you fall out
of it
out. Right. Ford, I saw the headline, and I feel like I'm going way too long, because I want to get to all the rest of you for this. They're already saying because of Trump now, Ford, all of their large truck manufacturing jobs have been saved in Ohio, I think is where they were, all because of Trump. And I'm like, he hasn't done anything. Like, he's not in office. You can't really give the man credit for shit. And I'm going to guess that this probably goes back a lot further with Ford. They don't just on a dime change.
And it does. I saw that article. That move has been in play for some time. That's happening during Obama's presidency. Like, Trump had literally nothing to do with that, except for he went to the Ford plant and climbed in a fucking truck.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he needed someone to help him probably get into, you know, like,
well, he's probably never been in a truck.
Oh my God, what's this?
What is this?
I don't know.
You know, Kat Carlson, we'll divert to you and go with your thoughts and feelings from last week.
So, in general, I'm a delayed reaction freaker outer, right? Because I have to make sure
everyone's okay.
It's a thing.
Right.
I like it. Right. So, I have to go around and hold everyone's hand. So, from Tuesday through Sunday.
You were doing a lot of checking in.
I was doing a lot of checking in, a lot of hand-holding, a lot of stuff, because everyone that I came into contact with is so freaked out. I worked all weekend at the bar, and everybody was just stunned, you know? And by Saturday, some of the like just amped upness started to show in the customers.
Mm-hmm. Just check
very busy.
But you're saying people were there.
People
were there. Okay, just wanted to make sure we check
by.
In there. All right. The bar cat works in.
She's yelling at the people that just walked by. Hey, how are you feeling about that?
So I did. So, you know, Tuesday was shocking. You know, Wednesday morning, I got up and I had to take a vehicle for maintenance, whatever. So I'm sitting at the Toyota dealership.
Did you take it to that guy again? That James or whatever? Remember?
The bad news guy.
The muffler king or whatever he was.
Because that would suck this week to do that. That would have been a bad idea.
I've even forgotten my own story. I remember what's funny, but I forgot my own story.
Different vehicle.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah, because he's always Debbie Downer, right?
That's right.
Wah, how you doing? Oh, I got some bad news, Cass. God damn.
Oh, my God, when I wrecked my car. That's right.
That's right. Everything's going. Oh, got some bad news.
Not good. I forgot all about this.
Been a really difficult week.
I was literally there just for an oil change, and I was in Sharon's car. Even I'm sitting at the Toyota dealership, and I had like my newspaper. Like I stopped and picked up the day after newspaper, and I'm just gonna like sit there, and like it still hasn't hit me. Like I don't, you know, because I left here, went home, went to bed, like shut off all of my technology, went home, went to bed, got up, went to the dealership. And of course, what do they have on in the waiting room at the dealership but news, right? All right, fine. So there's somebody talking, and I'm like trying to tune them out and just read my paper and just be calm. And then it becomes very clear to me that Hillary Clinton's about to come out and speak. And I went, oh,
for a concession.
Yep.
I probably don't need to do this here.
Yeah.
But, you know, so that happens. So she comes out and she talks and just, you know, just the... watching her almost cry, watching all the women in that room cry. So I'm sitting in North Scottsdale, the home of the rich white people, bawling in a waiting room. Like, so badly that a man from across the way got up, went and found tissues and came.
Oh, wow.
And offered them to me and was like... And he was very cute about it. He very grandly, like, presented them to me. He's like, would you like a Puffs Plus?
That is called a product placement. Yeah.
I like it.
He was very, very kind, but it was the quietest waiting room I'd ever been in.
Sure.
You know, as everybody just watched what was happening. And so then I went from there. Yeah. I know. I went from there just still crying, just crying all morning. And I had to go to a staff meeting at Cobalt where it looked about like that.
About like that.
Not like that. Because, you know, three of us show up. But then the kind of the hand-holding started, you know what I mean? Then I'm at the staff meeting and... You know, the guys around me, of course, I had a big, tall glass of rum.
No, fair.
Yeah.
Sure, like you do. Started my drinking early.
Why not?
Atta girl.
But I went from there and talking to all the boys, and I went and had lunch with some girlfriends, and, you know, a lot of, like, freaked out, what the fuck are we going to do? And then just the entire weekend tumbled into that. So I really didn't hit my freak out point until about yesterday afternoon. At which point I just, you know... crumbled into a little bit of a mess, and then but along the way, so if ever you've had a problem around me, the very first thing that I will say after I've listened to whatever your issue is, okay, what do we do?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
What's our plan?
How do we fix it? So the plan is...
Oh, I think this is where you're going to tell me why I need to join your little group.
This is where I'm going to tell you.
Okay.
So I was like kind of... like, had this idea rolling around in my head all weekend as I'm talking to people, and there's just this idea that, like, we can't cry foul until we've tried everything. Mm-hmm. And how is it, like, I believe in the goodness of most people. Like, not everyone is evil incarnate in government, right? Like, there are probably decent people all over our government that really want to do the right thing.
Amy Klobuchar.
Sure. But how can we expect them to represent us if we won't tell them what we are, what we represent, right? Because, like, how is that fair? I'm setting you up to fail. Hey, go do what's best for me, but you don't get to know who I am.
Read my mind.
Right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
Exactly. My representative.
Understand my heart, read my mind.
How can they know what I'm concerned about and what I need if I won't tell them? So then I'm like, well, then, you know, we need a movement. We need to do that. Right? We need to tell our representatives. So then I kind of envisioned, like, can you imagine the impact if you got elected to something and within the first week, like on inauguration day, all of your constituents mail you a letter, like a physical letter, not emails that nobody reads, not tweets that nobody cares about, not phone calls that piss off your staff, but physical letters that say, my name is Kat Carlson, and I live here, mm-hmm. and you know,
represent me, and this right. is what I am.
You represent me. Exactly. That's the thing. So now, there's a website. You can go to yourepresentme.com. It's a baby website with a little bit of filler now, but I built a website this afternoon.
Oh!
Well done.
And so my hope is to fill that website with resource and... where did I write down? We need three things. We need...
Oh, now you're up to three
look
things?
At that. Now that's
Jesus. Her segment has already gotten larger.
Because... So I want to fill this website with three things. I want to fill it with information because it's hard to figure out who represents you.
Right.
You know, it's 100 Google searches, and I don't have a lot of resources right now, but we'll add some. So we need information, like how do we find the people? How do we find their addresses? What do we got to do? Right.
I just posted a link to that site in the chat room
for those of you. Thank you.
For those of you wanting to follow along.
I literally built this afternoon.
Like, very good.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Literally just this afternoon. So we need information, and then we need inspiration, because you're going to sit down and you're going to get writer's block.
I'm in menopause, so if you need perspiration, I'm here for that.
that's not on my list
We need four things.
Yeah. I'm gonna put it in the maybe column.
All right, good.
Go ahead and write that down.
Just let it throw it out there.
Ooh. No, so we need information. We need inspiration. We need... you know, and people that want to pitch in and help, absolutely. We're going to need writing prompts. We're going to need, you know, starters for people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dear Mr. President, I am concerned about this because...
Kind of a template letter?
Yeah,
or?
When you teach kids how to write, you know, they have to practice, and you give them prompts. You give them the first sentence of a story, or you give them a scene, and you say, go.
Can we make Mad Libs? Like a Mad Libs?
We can totally Mad Libs it up.
Fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I think the way to get this started and to...
Because I think it's awesome. Kat.
With your thing is to get people thinking locally. Like, yes, it's a good idea.
100%.
To write letters to a man who doesn't read, but it's more important to start it... locally.
So,
and to get people to know, who are you local representatives? Mm-hmm. How does this affect me?
I 100% agree. So everyone has one man in common, right? Yeah. Everyone has one person in common. Mm-hmm. Now take that same letter and readdress it.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So we're writing to Clayton.
At the end of the day, I want you to send the letter to a minimum of five people.
Right.
You pick them. You know, ideas are your governor, your local representative, your city councilman, your school board, your, you know, and I want at least three of those five to be within your state.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
brilliant.
I got a message
back. I think it's absolutely brilliant. Yeah.
Well thank you.
Thank you for doing it.
Top of the chat there, Mama Di saying,
yep.
It's fantastic, Kat.
Yeah. Thanks, Mama Di.
I got a message back today.
My mother
today.
Has yet to comment.
I had posted... Well done. I had posted, I had mentioned this several months ago with regards to the Adrian Fuentes campaign, who was trying to unseat Helen Purcell, who has been, since apparently 1956, she's been the recorder for Maricopa County and has apparently kept running it just like they did in 1956 and hasn't progressed at all.
But she regressed this year by like 100 voting sites.
Yeah. So Adrian Fuentes won, and I posted and tagged his site in that, and I got a message back today from it. But I think, again, going to your local comment, that's another one. He's all about let's get this up
and
to par.
And it affects the way we vote,
right? Because if there's not enough voting sites, people get bored. They get irritated. They leave. They go home.
They have to work. It's not bored, irritated. Right. They have day jobs.
Well, no, but I'm saying to a point. Unless you in this day and age, because of our attention span being 6 seconds, if it's not there and ready for them, they're out of it. They're gone.
Right, or if you work my job on day shift, that's 7 to 7. That's 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So you have to leave for work at 5:30, and then you don't get out till after. I mean, we say 7 to 7, but it's really like 6:45 to 7:30. That's the whole time the polls are open.
Right.
So you have to find a way to get out of your job, and they have to let you leave your job to go vote. But
you still may not make it in time.
Mm-hmm. It's not that you won't make it in time. It's that you have to go there and be back, and you have to be conscientious of how long you're leaving work.
It's burdensome for some people in some industries.
So let's say you lived in New York, which has no early voting, or Michigan, that had no early voting, and you have a 12-hour job, and the polls are open for 12 hours. How do you fit
that
in?
Right.
So it's not just boredom or I don't have the time. It's like I have a lunch break to get there, which is what a lot of people have to do. They have to take their 30-minute, 60-minute lunch. So if you've made it further away with more people in line,
you're never going to get it done.
You're never going to get it back. So I mean, there's all kinds of things to consider in the logistics of it, mm-hmm. and having your county recorder in this case, or whoever's your person in charge of the Board of Elections. The more they restrict the voting, the less people can get there, mm-hmm. and a lot of it is because they have a job.
Sure.
That you just can't. Everybody can't call in sick on Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never understood why it can't be open later. And I don't mean that ignorantly. Like, unless no, there was just a law that was like that across some, the land some, of why some can't places it go till later.
I can't. Some states, and some it can go county by county. Sure, okay. Elections are so locally run. Mm-hmm. Like, some close on the half hour, some close in the hour. You can always, but you have to be in line by the time.
Right.
It's over. Right. So that's the one saving grace, is you cannot be turned away. And that's nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
That if you are in line at the time that the poll was open, you cannot be turned away. So, mm-hmm. but local.
And locally, this can make a really huge impact because, you know, these are the people, your local representatives are the people that actually live where you live. And they actually see the things you see. So if the steel plant is closing down, they know just as many people as you do that are losing their job.
Right.
You know, if the water supply is fucked up, then their kids are drinking it and bathing in it too. Right. Your local representatives
trying to avoid it the same way. Yeah.
Your local representatives are more emotionally connected to what you're doing. Your national representatives, though, also need to hear it.
Yeah.
You know, they're not personally going to, you know, because somebody was like, well, is my letter going to get read? Yes. By your representative? Maybe not. By the president? Maybe not. By your senator? Maybe not. But somebody in their office is going to read your letter.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody in your office is going to be moved by your story.
Right.
And then somebody in that office is going to have you in their mind when the debate comes up about LGBT rights, or when the debate comes up about whatever the thing is that you write that's important to you.
Mm-hmm.
And if they suddenly get 1,000 of them.
Right. All at once, right. Which is the key. All sure. at once. So
yeah.
my vision is to start every year with this. Inauguration day, mail your letter.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
start
of the next session, mm-hmm. mail your letter. The middle of January somewhere, mail your letter so that these people show up to their first, you know, mm-hmm. first day on the job knowing that these letters are coming.
Sure. And on the website, put those dates.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For
yeah.
people that, and links maybe.
Absolutely. You yeah. know. Information.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I want to present it in a nice, easy to follow yeah. kind of a way. So we're going to build the thing and see where it goes, because I have to do something.
Yeah. yeah.
And the reason even more so with the thank you is because I love fixing things,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know how to get started to get right. that done, because I am personally nervous that I'm going to fuck it up, whatever it is
yeah.
that I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's just no matter what it is,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
That I know that I can do it, or I think, you know, but I'm going to fuck it up.
So, I guess the only way you can fuck it up is by not doing anything.
No, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
that's that fear. For me, right.
I get it.
Really
I get
silly
it.
Fear.
And some of the failsafe that Clayton was talking about earlier is the people. Like, we have more power than we think. We just
yeah.
have to
oh,
reach
yeah.
out to we just have to reach out to the people that we don't think about until we elect them every so many years.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
we
ignore
we
them
forget.
And it's right.
Yeah.
We ignore yeah. Al all day
all
long.
Day long.
All day
long. But we do. We forget. Like, whenever election time comes up,
oh.
I look up and go, now when did that? And he just stares at me like, you're a fucking
yeah.
moron.
We ignore them.
Because he's looking at me like, I
oddly,
fucking said that.
Oddly unrelated.
Actually, it's often. That's often. Not just the, okay, good call. That's true. Damn it.
So anyway, it's something to do. If I can
awesome.
If I can get it to move and get it to go in a direction that I think it could go, it could be really impactful.
All right, or Kat Carlson.
Or maybe I built a website for fun on a Tuesday afternoon. Who knows?
Nothing
both
wrong with
answer,
that.
Both answers are legit.
Yeah.
I agree.
Absolutely.
I agree, because everything starts with something. So
yeah.
I mean, every movement started with a little something here or there. So
if you could have done it in your garage, we could have fit into that computer. You know what I mean? I mean, that commercial. Everything that started in a
yes.
garage.
But,
oh,
yeah.
Apple
computers. Weirdly, I had my garage wide open and my car is out of it. So if I had just
close
moved
enough.
To the garage, we could take a little
we
video.
Accepted.
We could take some video of me on the
exactly.
laptop.
In the revisionist history, you were in the garage.
in the reenactment, you're in the garage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marnie?
Yes. Oh.
Hi, how are you? How's it going?
There she
good.
Is.
It's really weird. The minute that Clayton says my name as far as to do something, then my computer goes. But
we're going to set fire to that fucking
oh,
thing.
No
I'm really
idea.
Tired of that
I'm
thing.
Excited to do that.
Since it's the only product ever in my house that
yeah.
fucks up,
yeah.
that one. I don't know why.
because I'm sitting in front of it.
We have almost 400 megabit download speed on this internet.
Yeah.
And you can't do shit. Can't I don't get shit. Why.
Can't do it. So I'm going to go into here because I did a little little notes.
Oh, I enjoy very good. Notes.
I did little notes. Just kind of the rant stuff, as Amina had said, to uh-huh. just kind of write down. Well, she was talking more about sharing, but let's see.
You say sharing.
Sharing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's here Ooh, somewhere.
Amina, that's a good point. I'm sorry to Amina just brought up the fact that World AIDS Day is coming up December 1st, yes. And that's a good point about the homophobia on this side of the globe, because it's a gay community that pushes people. Wow, I didn't think about that. But that's another thing yeah. that's coming up that we'll see how everybody reacts to in America, or in the United States, rather.
So what I wrote down just on here, it may not really flow, but meh, that hyperbole is really dangerous, and that kids don't understand hyperbole. Mm-hmm. And that they're so literal. And on CNN, they were talking about this with this son of a bitch named Ari Fleischman.
Yeah.
Okay. And Ari was pointing out, while he smirked and shrugged it off to Brooke Baldwin, that you know, you guys are so literal to the media. You guys are so literal. And when Donald is talking about things, he's not being literal.
Oh yeah, but we need a translator. You need to have your right. little orphan Annie,
right.
Donald Trump,
which we call Dakota Kellyanne Ring. Conway. Correct. Yeah. The problem is, because where Kat was talking about her heartbreaking, for the different people that you've come into contact with.
So many people are so freaked out.
And I'm with you on that for the adults and whatnot, but it's the kids that are breaking my fucking heart.
Yeah.
Like breaking my heart, and all the different stories and the things that you see on the news, it just makes me want to cry right now, where you have these children that are being interviewed, and I kind of want to smack the adults that are saying, what do you think about, you right. know, and putting a microphone in their face, because they don't, I'm having trouble enough processing it.
Right.
So the idea of being 7 and trying to process it when all you've heard around you for the last fucking year and a half is that we'll be sent away, mommy and daddy,
right?
Or you know, your tia is going to be sent away. It's too much. It's just too much, and you know, I just really think that a president can't be hyperbolic. I think that right. if that's the case, you know, thousands of people. Ari Fleischman used the example that when Trump said when 9/11 happened that thousands of people. He knows. He saw thousands of people cheering. He said, well, I mean, maybe he meant, it doesn't matter. Maybe he meant 3 or 300 or 3,000. It doesn't matter. Everyone knows that he didn't mean it that
now,
way.
Now, and then the irony of Ari Fleischer, who's a fucking
Fleischer?
Asshole. Fleischer, something like that.
I don't know.
Who gives a shit?
Fucking
But anyways,
asshole.
Him, he was the press briefing guy. He was Mike from Veep. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He's the one that does the daily right. press briefings. So after 9/11, he's the one that told the press and our nation that maybe we should watch our free speech for a while okay. because we were all on watch. So this is this human turd
right.
who decided that the first thing to go after 9/11 was all of our free speech. And it was like, fuck right. you. That was
Wait
the first
a
red,
minute.
That was the first red flag that went off with this guy. So sure. he's one to be like, well, it's not all literal.
Yeah. yeah.
Because he got to, and again, it's one of those things that everyone forgets 5 minutes later, but this guy was the first one to take free speech off the sure. table after 9/11. And then had to be like, all right, didn't mean that.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't so worry about yeah. that. Right. Right. And that to me is really difficult. And when Amina asks, when Trump said he was going to build a wall, was he being hyperbolic? I honestly don't know.
I think he seriously plans on it. And right. in fact, in the interview on Sunday on 60 Minutes, it was made aware to him that some sections can't have a wall for whatever reason. It's going to be fencing. He's like, that's fine. River. I'll get it.
Some sections, it's physically impossible to build a wall. Some sections are all, like private property spans the border. So you are going to have to public domain the shit out of that. Good luck with that.
Well, and
eminent domain.
And if I'm not mistaken, the Native Americans have just released a statement that none of that will ever be on any of their property that spans across
the they'll probably change that too.
Arizona.
Fight it,
But no, I don't think in his mind, I don't think that's being hyperbolic to him. I think he seriously thinks, he's like, if China can build a wall, I think he seriously thinks.
The Great Wall of Trump.
Right.
Right. And I'll get someone else to pay for it.
And when he even said,
incidentally, the Great Wall of China did not keep the Mongolians out.
No, it didn't. And he's all
It's a lovely tourist attraction.
Really, and Reagan's favorite moment is tear down that wall. Yeah. Like, come on. People are like, plus if it's not going to go back.
And that's
probably the
nuts.
Smallest of our worries.
Cost wise,
no, but
he's in construction. He knows how these things work.
He does.
He said it in the interview.
He builds things.
He builds them.
Yep.
But he doesn't pay anybody after they build them.
So he's going to give them jobs, just not pay him.
If I may piggyback, this is the time that would be the issue when they're trying to raise money to pay for the wall. That's the time to make on your website that you, because he can't just say build the wall. He's got to get congressional approval.
Yes.
This is the time your letter goes with pictures of bridges not being done.
I mean, right. All the infrastructure.
Potholes on streets.
Yep.
Things that are out of date. Dams are not working. Levees. All these things. Mm-hmm. That's when your letter comes in handy because if you write to your
flood
and say, go ahead. But when it comes time for re-election, we're going to say you picked a useless wall
over
this bridge that's falling down.
Right, absolutely.
So that's the time when your congressional people, Trump doesn't read, and plus he's ignorant, but you can go lower to people that it matters when they show them the town that they're representing of like, oh, Fucksville.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And I appreciate that.
That's when your vote, that's when your voice matters. And then you have an issue that's real.
Right.
And it's not emotional, like they always say. It's a legitimate thing.
Yeah.
This is falling down. It needs funding. You're sending funding over there. You don't care about our district anymore.
Well,
you don't
care about your... And I'm throwing in stupid little fucking banter here and there because it really is just too much for me. So I'm mocking some things, not you guys. I don't mean to. Sometimes. But when I look at this, that is... The idea of the wall, for instance, sending all of the stuff that makes sense, the roads, the freeway, the everything, right? Fine. But I also want to send him a fucking signed autographed picture of El Chapo.
Yeah.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Build your goddamn wall. But maybe, I don't know, zone in on the ground to like see what's underneath there.
But clearly,
Because they're going under.
The people that agree with it, like you might be able to reason with them, with him.
Right.
But the people that agree with it, can't see the issue.
They think
this wall because
is the end all solution.
In their world, there are no boats or airplanes. People just
because my fat ass can't get over it.
Yeah.
Right.
So I mean, it makes absolutely no sense.
Sure.
Just swim. How about an airplane? You know what I mean? There are ways. One ride. Don't come back.
Right.
You're in.
I think I'm going to be on that cruise.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to work on that cruise line and then just get off the boat. When you have the Ari Fleischmans, the Newt Gingriches, who are just laughing. He was on Megan, what's her damn face? Kelly.
Megan Kelly.
He was on Megan Kelly and... She was talking about this this awful, evil Steve Bannon or whatever his name is.
Yeah, Breitbart.
And talking, you know, the headlines that have been out there and been shown as far as, you know, this the Jew and the gay and the whatever. That birth control makes women stupid and crazy or something. And he was just laughing. He's like, well, that's not him. That doesn't have anything to do with him. I mean, he didn't write it. Well,
no, you're the editor that put it up.
Yeah, exactly. And you support it, and you know, so it's a little bit creepy. The fact that Newt Gingrich is going to have a position in a Trump cabinet.
Newt Gingrich would probably have had a position in almost anybody that got elected's cabinet. Unfortunately,
makes me want to throw up. But the fact that he was laughing about it and listening to.
In his defense, although he's one of the few people in that crowd that has any idea what is going on. That's he's the fair. Only one with any kind of experience in government.
That's fair.
And ended up, I mean, his contract in America was a fucking nightmare, and it got him out of there. He got voted out. The last time he had a big idea, he got turfed.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't like him, but that one I'm okay with. Because he brings at least he knows what the fuck happens there, and he knows where a bad idea gets him.
And I can, okay, that's fair. But I think what bothers me is that when you get that many bullies in one place, they feed off each other.
Yeah.
You know? And that's my issue. And it feels like all this stuff that I'm, whether it's that I'm reading, that I'm hearing, that is the other half of the people that voted for this fucking moron, are they really that blind? Because it's as if they've been duped. I wasn't really joking about being punked, because it's almost like wool over their eyes. That are people really believing all this I have down? One thing is said, then it's changed.
No,
right?
It's not just that, and I'll jump in here because this you're kind of bringing up where I was going with this. Is that it took me a couple days to get back into any kind of media, and you can't even imagine the rage when I found out she won the popular vote.
It's over 1 million votes.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I'm not sure about that headline that Barbara's passed around. Everything I've seen, it's about 700,000.
I just saw it today. California is not even two-thirds done yet.
Two-thirds done yet. So they're not sure, but that
it's tweet, over 1 million at that point.
Yeah. Where did you see that? Because the tweet
on MSNBC today.
Oh, okay. Because the tweet that's been going around, I couldn't verify.
I will look it up right now. Go ahead.
So what it comes down to is these people, and as I went on people's Facebook pages that there was a friend of mine in New York who it turns out is a liberal. I didn't realize it. Always in the periphery. I've known him for a long time. On his page were people that I went to school with. Some of them I knew, some of them I didn't remember. And they were saying, like, he said something about the Electoral College, and someone said, well, Romney won the popular vote, but lost the Electoral College. And I'm like, no, he didn't.
No.
And then they're like, well, Google it. So someone else that was in the conversation put up a news source with the actual vote total. And they're like, well, don't just believe the media. He really won. So then I put up like another news source. And then I found the USArchives.gov, which is our national archives, has the final tally.
Right.
So I put that up. And she's like, well, let's just agree to disagree. You have your opinion. I'm like, this is not an opinion. And then you realize as you're talking to these people and you're listening to them talk, because then they were like, well, Trump won the national, he won the popular vote. This is a lie. And now Google is putting out, if you Google the election, that's the first thing that comes up now, is that this site that you all went to unfortunately got a lot of hits. So it's saying that Trump won the popular vote, and it's giving these two numbers that neither one of these two candidates are ever going to get.
Right.
There's a very, 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 very small chance that Hillary will hit 62 million. Okay. It's very, very small that she'll hit that big of a number. She'll still be like the person with the fourth highest votes in the history of elections. It gets bigger every year. So, yeah. I mean, it's a plus and minus with that one.
Sure.
But as I'm reading these things and you present people with facts, they're like, no, no, that's not true. And you're like,
I read it on Breitbart.
And it's because, and then you realize that as we're all in our bubbles, people have stopped going to sources or stopped doing a follow-up headline. They're doing that clickbait.
You're right.
And they're reading that first thing, and they just take it as fact and move on. And we can't argue with them, because you present a fact to them, and they just throw it back. Oh, no, that's biased. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sorry, the New York Times, okay, maybe liberal-leaning, but presents facts and vets them.
It's information. And we have to... we have to kind of gently remind our friends that do that bullshit to knock it off.
Yes.
I had someone that I know on Facebook it was a cute article from the Huffington Post that had some flashy headline and then an entire article about misinformation, and she just like,
oh, the Bernie Sanders one?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she just reposted it, and I was like, but wait a minute, like, I get where you're going with this, but aren't you contributing to it by posting this without commentary?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, I get, I loved the article, the article's great, whatever, but without commentary, then you're really just continuing the misinformation. Because
you're playing telephone, and you're just passing...
Right, and you're just passing it on, hoping that you can feel smug about people that aren't reading the headline.
Yeah.
Right.
When, in fact, you're just confusing more people.
Sure, absolutely.
You have to, we have to stop that.
To go along with what I was saying, I'm just on Time Magazine's page, and there it's... We're still not all of California done. She's at over a million ahead of him in popular.
Wow. I mean, because, and I've been checking it every morning as each state comes in, because they still have, for some reason, they, and Michigan is close, but allegedly everything's counted. Michigan's not an outgoing state, but something about that 13,000, the difference.
Right. Well, and I, Meow, I, Meow Cal, I read about the snow that you guys are supposed to get, and my apologies to you from here.
I actually don't care. It's going to be lovely
absolutely,
here. Sucks for you
you're
guys.
Absolutely right about the shit show that's coming up. And Minnesota was damn near a fucking embarrassment.
Yeah.
I was horrified. And I sent a text to my friend Dana and said, you know, what the fuck is going on? Is this a joke? You know, what's happening? And she said, I think that Trump went to Minnesota. This was before the election stuff. This was late Monday night, I think. And I said, what is happening? And she said... that she thinks Trump went to Minneapolis that day before because they had a high school, like, fake election kind of thing, and Trump won in the high schools. And she said, I have a feeling that he probably saw that as part of it, you know, like a, well, let's get there and let's fuel the fear of Somalians and let's, you know, let's do all this. And he did.
And he did. And it worked really well. This is like the highest percentage turnout of white people in a long time. Mm-hmm. So when we were talking about last week, I was trying to stay on point with polls
really
and stuff like that. They were wrong in a lot of different ways. And the one that picked him as the winner, the USC LA Times one that I kept talking about, that did that different way of polling, they had him winning right, but they had their numbers completely off. He didn't win by 7%. Okay. He lost by what's going to turn out to be like 0.75 or 0.5 to 0.75, depending on how it all, whatever 1 million out of 120 million is. Somebody do that math.
0.75.
So they were right with the projection of him as the winner. They were wrong with the vote count. So everybody ended up fucking it up. And we all kept saying, like, we're not getting polled. We live in the cities. We don't have landlines. The people that were missed... were not people in the city. It was the rural people, the rural jurors, that have the landlines that should have been asked, but they were given a percentage of the total that they usually vote in. And so he exceeded. So in my humble opinion and from what I've been reading, a lot of these things, and like I think Bernie would end up, with the same problem, is... the Democrats were going after minorities.
Okay.
They were going into inner cities.
Absolutely.
They were supporting the Black Lives Matter. And you have these white people in that don't know how to use the word disenfranchised. They still don't understand that word.
Right.
But they're all thinking, and they're poor, they're having unemployment problems, but the focus seems to be on the city folk and all this stuff. And you have these people thinking, no one's looking out for us. And that might be the untapped part of all of it that really came... that I really
the
think
the silent hey, majority, and it really did.
It really was the silent majority that they weren't being heard, and seriously, no one was except for Trump, and Bernie did to a certain point, but he was only going to get so far with them too, that it moved a needle, and there's this element of fear and otherness that white people are experiencing for the first time.
They keep reading things that come 2020.
We're going to be a minority majority nation,
right?
And that's going to happen it's going to happen with or without them. And someone I read a interesting thing that said, and I can't remember who said it. Somebody might know because it was all over the headlines today. Said this is the last gasp of the Civil War.
Yeah,
that's being fought.
Sure.
This year, and it really is.
Oh,
that.
I read that too. Oh my God, who said that? It was? Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner
posted it, yes.
Okay.
Your father. So,
yes. Second cousin.
Your namesake. So, and I think that really is what it came down to, is a low information society. And I can't say it's either side, because in that bubble, there's our side in a bubble. And the one thing, and you mentioned it about hyperbole, that I really think we as... everyone listening, everyone that can hear the sound of my voice, we have got to stop with the hyperbolic, everyone's the devil. Because the devil showed up and we've been screaming devil for so long that no one believed us. And we can't keep up with these microaggressions against comedians that make jokes that offend you. It's just a joke. Move the fuck on.
Sure.
Or someone that you agree with that just makes a wrong step, like Dolce & Gabbana or whatever, or the two Ann gay Goldie. Guys. No. I'm serious.
I know
about this.
You are.
I'm dead,
I know.
Dead serious about this. When Dolce & Gabbana have a thought that doesn't agree with you about gay marriage or gay adoption, mm-hmm. they're not the enemy. Don't make them the enemy, because when the enemy shows up, you've painted everyone with these microaggressions.
Right.
And we have got to stop.
Okay.
Like Mitt Romney, not my favorite person, but
Would've been a fine president, man.
Right. But we painted him with such a black brush that when the person that needed the black brush came along, there was no more paint left and no one bought it. And we've got to stop with the hyperbole and that stuff from our side. And we've got to start learning. You can't be the purest person, you know, and everybody, and Doug Wilkie was the worst. And that was when I realized just how fucked up the world was when he described Bernie Sanders as pure. I'm like, Jesus, like the Virgin Mary, but no one is pure. That's so great. And to me, it was grotesque.
Yeah.
To like, okay, so now we have to live up to this standard of we have to be pure or we don't, like, we're not invited to the table. Like, ick, no.
So I'm going to spend a lot of time sitting in the carport.
Yeah, and I bring that, and I don't mean
like
to bash Doug with that, but it really was the wake up call for me at a restaurant one day of like, oh, we're in trouble. Right. If someone's throwing around a pure word about someone, no one's pure. You've been in politics for 30 some years. You know what I mean? I've been alive for 49.
Right.
I'm not going to be pure. Like, I'm not going to go down every single thing.
I should hope not.
And be on the right page gross. With everybody. So we have to stop and just say, okay, I don't agree with you on that one, but we're still on the same team.
Right.
We like 98%, but this is a Bill Maher thing. And then the last thing was from David Frum, who I really don't like because he was a speechwriter for Rudy Giuliani back in the day. He was on and he was saying he changed his vote to Clinton because he so disliked Trump. But he said, if you're going to just keep bashing middle America, the flyover states, and you're just going to keep bashing them and calling them dumb and saying they marry their cousins, then this is what you get, because you just keep belittling them and making out the. So you have to like think in terms of these things we're saying, as even though it's not a minority or a protected class, you're still bashing the shit out of West Virginia.
Yeah.
And if you want West Virginia on your side, you can't keep saying they married their cousins and they all play. You know what I mean? Like, you have to start being cognizant of what
I do enjoy a good banjo.
Yeah,
and understand that the banjo is harder to play than you think. So probably not all of them play.
We'll switch to the ukulele.
Yeah. So I mean, I really think the microaggressions, and we all have to check ourselves at the door with that, because all of us get on people who just. You know, the Dolce & Gabbana, you're assholes, and you're allowed to say you're assholes, but you know what? We're not fighting against you. We don't throw them out of the fishbowl because one thing, however, whatever it is. Right. I mean, I wasn't for gay marriage. I was probably the last person on board with gay marriage because I'm against marriage.
Yeah.
So why do you want to bring more people into something that I think is a failed institution that we should be moving away from?
I still don't have a gay marriage.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you don't want a gay marriage... Don't have one.
Right.
That's kind of my plan at the moment.
You know, I very much appreciate that. And I see where you're going. I mean, we tend to mock, and that's part of just what we do. But if
and it gets
you
us
have,
that elite tag.
And I can go with what Annette was saying as far as the kind of being smug, because Democrats do kind of, you know, you have the Republican conservative kind of side of things of being narcissistic and like way above it all, just very above it all and very elitist. And then you have liberals or Democrats a lot of times that are, you know, look at all the good I do. I planted a garden and you can smell the aroma of the dirt. And like everything is just so hippie and like lovely. And
sounded very Martha Stewart.
Yeah,
when
I don't
you
know,
did
something.
That.
But you know what I'm saying? Like just very.
Wait, why are we smelling the dirt? I was reading something.
I don't
something
know. Something hippie like.
Because Martha Stewart is planting pots
you know
so she can do
saying?
Her new
like,
show
like,
with
I do,
Snoop Dogg.
And we come across like that of look at all this great stuff that we do for those people.
Hello, Dale. Yeah.
And that's how it kind of can seem.
Yeah.
And forgive me, this is just, and I'll just fly through it. The free license to act on urges, what we were talking about earlier. Well, my dad can beat up your dad. Well, my president said that I can grab you by the pussy. So it's okay. Yeah. That it's free license to act on these urges of hate and fear. Because if he can, then why can't I? And it appears to be like his changing back and forth and waffling on, well, I'm going to do this. Well, I mean, maybe. I'm going to do that. Maybe not right away.
We've accused everyone of flip-flopping, and then the supreme flip-flopper of all time came around, and we're like, we don't have any fuel
in the engine.
I don't mind
the flip-flopping is one thing. It's the people that have been
flip-flopping with him.
Right, that are like, all of a sudden, they've been attacking, where they're looking up, and it appears to be giving people who voted for him, not all, but a lot of what I've seen, for him some sort of comfort that it's okay because he suddenly sees a nice man. Like all the things that I'm seeing on TV.
Oh, yeah. My friend is calling it the normalization of Trump.
Sure.
That all of a sudden, isn't he dignified? And is he presidential?
He's presidential. Yeah.
The last thing before we kill this election, and it's the good news part of it, is that I read something the other day that rang very true to me. It was an opinion piece, and it said, he is so preoccupied with his popularity. Mm-hmm. Like, he is not someone who will fight defiantly against people who don't like him. He's on that Twitter feed. He's sitting in McDonald's reading the polls.
When people start losing their jobs and his popularity starts to plummet.
Right, and he already didn't win the popular vote, which he can't deal with. And then if his poll numbers, if his popularity or Melania's is less than Obama's, it's going to kill him.
Oh, sure.
So he's going to start going for things that make him more popular,
more better,
because he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't want protesters outside. He wants to be big.
He wants to be popular.
And without the killing it, but going back to Kat's website, I think one of the things that's really important for us as a gay minority. Is that we need to make sure, because of the marriage equality, the just in case, when we had Katie June talking about she and Kelly and, you know, the troubles with adoption and this and this, Aaron had sent something, and I can put it in the chat room or I can do whatever, but to really be aware, get paperwork in order, living wills, power of attorney, because that goes back to that whole idea. Something has changed that suddenly Aaron and I are together, whether married or not, and suddenly I can't go into the hospital with her, vice versa. So anything like that we can put in writing, and we really need to follow through with that kind of stuff so that we're safe.
Well, and though he's commented on it before with regards to the restaurant, that they get it, they pretty much let that go. But what you're saying is, depending on where you are, you can completely run into that.
Absolutely.
But your mother supersedes it, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Your parents
supersede it. If you're unmarried, then and your parents are alive, your
and
parents
doesn't
supersede.
It go to family at that point as well? Like, say parents
it goes
are
to parents, it goes to, it goes, at first it's if you're married, it goes to the husband or the spouse. If you're unmarried, then it goes to a parent.
Yep.
Or if you're, then it would go to like a majority of your
siblings,
adult children,
or siblings. Isn't that correct?
Siblings would be if you had no children,
right,
or had no adult children.
Correct. But it's a whole lot of other people.
It takes a convoluted route.
Yeah.
So you should always have your medical things in order. You should have your medical power of attorneys in order. Mm. None of us are young enough to take that for granted anymore.
Absolutely.
I don't have mine done.
I don't either. I agree.
But we already know what hospital I'm going to be at, and no one's going to keep you away. They'll be like, oh, Jesus, somebody come visit this fucker. Yeah.
Shut him up, even though he's not talking right now. Yeah.
Who does the CD collection go to? That's my question.
Huh?
Who gets the CD collection?
I do. He already said.
Okay, thanks. So it was documented 8/13 on the 15th of November.
But he has to share, right?
Please sign here, here, here.
The funny thing is...
I'm a notary.
Oh, good point.
Take care.
Sometimes you have to go with conversations that are overheard.
Right.
That's right.
And that's how you get it. So if you got it on recording here...
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Well done.
Would you like to specify anything else for anybody else at this point, Al? Or are we just going to leave it?
Why are we bequeathing all of Al's belongings? He's not dying.
I'd like to get it recorded for him. I'd like this to be done for him. I'd like to help him get off of this and move on to other things.
He doesn't have to worry about
this.
The
week
paperwork.
On the show with Clayton McKee. Audio wills.
Audio wills. It's a good time. Well, guess what? We're going to come back with a drinking word. We're going to move on with headlines and other things coming up right now. It's Q Talk America. We will continue.
Hey, girl. You okay?
You're listening to Q Talk America.
And now, we dance. The Q Talk America Radio Network.
And now, a drink-along. We dare you to stay awake during this royalty-free music and to play a drinking game with us. If you are currently or soon to be driving a car, you cannot play. If you are presently the primary caregiver for children and or the elderly, you may desperately want to play, but... If you are listening from a rehab facility, you are disqualified because you already hit bottom. And that means you already won this game at least once. If playing this game is in any way illegal for you, put the bottle down and make better life choices. There is no good in your goodbye, and there is no lifeguard on duty, so you will be swimming at your own risk. Tell your lawyer to take the fucking day off. You can't sue us. We warned you. Good luck.
Well, it's more of a phrase that I'm really glad I didn't waste on last week's hilarity.
Is it things that will end the world for $500, Alex?
Kind of.
Kind of.
Bitch, get a donut. I have no idea.
Where is that?
I always ask, and thou shalt receive.
That's timely.
Wow, they've been through a lot.
They've been through the last week with me.
Where the hell did that come from?
I don't know, but I wrote it down the minute someone said it out loud.
That's funny.
And I had it in there.
Can a bitch get a donut?
That is very funny.
It's kind of like saying I need some attention. Can a bitch get a donut? Come on, talk to me. That's what that sounds like.
It reminds me of...
give those back, I might eat those.
I believe...
I'm fucking hungry.
Those have been through a lot. Those really have.
I believe it's Frank, been a week, Frankie McKee. And Johnny. And I can't remember who plays the...
a bitch get a donut.
In the movie, yes. Frankie and Johnny, I can't remember who the secondary... character is, who the actress plays
Johnny?
Her at the restaurant. No. Al Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer. And the waitress says to the kitchen, who do I gotta fuck to get a donut? And who do I gotta fuck to get a waffle? And the cook goes, me. And she's like, we're out of waffles. And in a very serious movie about abortion, is one of the best lines I've ever heard in a movie. Who do I gotta fuck to get a waffle? Me. We're out of waffles.
Oh my god.
So,
oh my god.
In the spirit of Frankie and Johnny, Claire de Lune, get a bitch, get a donut.
Who do I have to fuck to get a waffle?
That's fantastic.
We're out of waffles. Terribly sorry.
No waffles.
Oh, well, there's our drinking phrase for the week. I hope you can all figure out how to work it in somehow, but we're going to do this instead right now. Headlines on a Tuesday night, Q Talk America style. Let's hope we can get through this with some jocularity. Some of it's serious. Oh, my God. Oh, Facebook plans to stop fake news.
Craigslist roommate ad terrifying.
Seems Pence is donating a lot to Planned Parenthood.
Bye-bye, West Virginia mayor.
Hungry, hungry hippos in real life.
Another story.
Aspiring weatherman is a complete moron.
And then one more.
A dead man gets elected and everybody knew he was already dead. These and other stories coming
Right now?
Sure.
Okay.
How did we... God. Apparently we stepped on each other this week on
No, actually
Bitch
we
got
didn't.
A donut.
Donut. We didn't. I couldn't get... This wouldn't scroll down.
Oh, right, it wouldn't scroll down. Got it, got it, got it.
So we didn't.
Oh, well, in a post on his own personal Facebook profile late on Saturday, Mark Zuckerberg said Facebook is planning to deal with those endless fake stories very soon. And for those of you who are friends of mine on Facebook, every fucking time you post one of those stories that's not true, I tag you and I tell you to take it down because why do you keep perpetuating it? He says, quote, our goal is to show people that content that they will find most meaningful and people want accurate news in their feeds. The CEO wrote, we have already launched work enabling our community to flag hoaxes and fake news, and which I have completely utilized, and there is more that we can do here. We have made progress, and we will continue to work to improve this further. Recently, fake news on Facebook included a widely shared false report just days before the election. The Post claimed that an FBI agent investigating Hillary Clinton's use of a private email server had actually killed himself. The story seemed designed to derail the campaign. Your newsfeed is tailored to show stories similar to what you and your friends have liked and shared in the past. And a fake story aimed at supporters of either candidate during the contentious election could easily spread, thus helping its creators earn major money from ad revenue, which is really the crux of all of this. President Barack Obama even called out the platform, which Facebook insists is not a media outlet, in the days leading up to the election. However, Zuckerberg is adamant that fake news posts on Facebook did not alter the election, explaining in his post that only a small amount of posts are in fact fake. To this point, or to this story, I just, before we went to air on one of the MSNBC shows, a former Facebook employee was coming on. I obviously had to come in and do this, so I didn't get to listen to him. Was actually wanting to comment about the fact that Zuckerberg says that he doesn't feel that the fake news had anything to do with the outcome of the election, but apparently that was contrary to what this former employee was going to say on the interview on MSNBC.
And that cuts both ways, too, because Republicans were complaining earlier this year that Facebook was too liberal and mm-hmm. There was too many things on there bashing Republicans. So it just depends on which way the wind's blowing and whose butt hurt that week, I think. Oh. As far as like, can a bitch get a donut? Like, who's
can a bitch? We're out of donuts.
It just makes me laugh.
Out of waffles. No, I want a waffle.
Out of waffles. I think it's Kate. Kate, someone.
What's the movie again?
Frankie and Johnny. The one that played the mom in Prince of Tides. I feel like it's her. Kate Nelligan.
Stand by.
Mulgrew.
Stand by.
Go ahead, destroy.
Not Kate Mulgrew. So in Chicago, there was a Craigslist ad that was posted. A little frightening.
Kate Nelligan.
Very nice. I'm sure that everyone in here, from what I recall, the stories being told, has always had or has had a roommate in the past. Right, and you have to look for roommates, and some of them, as we all know, can be more frightening than others, just in general.
Sure.
But this whole Craigslist thing can get a little goofy. You know, eventually everyone ends up in a crappy roommate situation, whether it's someone who doesn't do their dishes, or maybe they play their show tunes maximum volume at night.
I feel like the story's all about
listening. Show tunes at maximum volume is a public service.
Two-hour showers.
Yeah,
Come on. You're not 13.
Whose hot water tank is that big? Right. First of all, whose hot water tank is
I'll tell you later how I figured out how it was done.
But those problems sound like a breeze compared to the stuff that this one Craigslister had in mind for whoever ends up being his roommate. The simple enough title, Roommate Needed for Relaxed Household. Okay, so that seems,
relaxed household.
If Frankie say that I'm in.
Yeah, Frankie say relax. Don't do it.
You can't have a donut, bitch. What was it?
Don't do it.
Bullshit,
you,
I got
Frankie.
Three smashed ones left.
Oh, damn it.
Well, you know what? And they're just as good even though they're smashed, aren't they?
Al would find out here.
Oh, I already had my piece.
Well,
let's go with my wine.
During the show, Al had a piece. I'll have
there
a piece.
You have it. All right. So there's a picture, and I'll put this when I can figure out how the fuck to do it in the chat room.
You know, the world will end someday.
Creepy picture of the guy to go along with it. and it says that there are some ground rules. They're a little bit ridiculous. His whole post is roommate needed, rent shared equally. Storage of ice cubes in the freezer is not permitted. Red wine to be served chilled. Problem? Do not email me ever. Looking for chill roommate who won't act like a big bitch when I tell him or her to kiss my pet snake before they leave for work in the morning. Okay, some ground rules. One, that Sierra Mist in the fridge is prescription soda and you may not have any. Two, if I ring the triangle in the kitchen, it means you have to go to bed no matter what time it is. Three, you may not have a friend over, or you may have a friend over, but they have a 250-word limit. After that, they're not allowed to speak for the rest of their visit.
Wait, read that one again.
You may have a friend over, but they have to have a 250-word limit. After that, they're not allowed to speak for the rest of their visit.
I think Tim and I could have used that one for our our guests.
If you
feel that's valid.
Yeah. If you want to live with me, you can't be taller than me. And if you wear socks, you better not zap me with static electricity or you're gone. Got
a bike?
Oh,
my gosh.
Good. Once a week, you're going to ride it in the street and let me sit on the handlebars.
Seems legit.
$240
a ride
month.
Ride one.
Get a bitch, get a dog. Yeah.
Dale, I am with you 100% here. It'll be $240 a month, no utilities. If you do the dishes, I'll put a poisonous frog in your bed. Roommate wanted for relaxed
household. Oh, if you don't do the dishes.
If you do the dishes, I'll put a poisonous frog in your bed.
So now you're being punished for doing the dishes?
Because he doesn't trust anybody else to do the dishes.
Because you're going to do them wrong.
Right, exactly.
That's true.
Like loading the dishwasher.
Roommate wanted for a relaxed household of young working professionals.
Relaxed?
420.
It sounds 420, so
420 friendly.
Oh, my God.
But don't you fucking dare say any other numbers in this house. You can't own an even number of shoes. No Indian visitors for more than an hour. Sorry, an aunt. See that shower curtain? Never touch it. If it's closed, you come in, get me, and I pull you back so you can shower. And I pull it back so you can shower.
Shut
Once a week,
up.
We drag our beds into the living room and sleep out there. You may not go, you may not go to bed before me, nor may you get out of bed before I do. If you say good morning to me, you must then explain what's so good about it.
That's fair.
Or I'll send you back to your room. Also,
you
must
think about what you did there.
Also, you must put a pillow over your face when you sleep, as I do not care to hear your breathing. Roommate needed no more than 9 toes. Rent must be paid within 10 minutes of the peak of the equinox in a lump sum. Neither cash, nor credit, nor debit, nor check accepted. I get 4 of your shirts. My choice. No pets bigger than your head.
I love that. That's almost Guy Fieri worthy.
I give four of your shirts.
My choice.
$4.95.
For two.
I'll wear them twice.
Pets bigger than your head. You have to wear shoes one size smaller than your feet. Bring your own toilet. No salt or pepper. You need to let me use your phone 1 hour a day. Not more than 3 pair of pants. Do not ask me to move the puppets from the foyer closet.
That's right out of Sex and the City. Remember when what's his face is sleeping with the guy with the dolls?
Number one, never take the trash bags off my windows. Number two, do not kiss my guns. Number three, kiss my guns every day. Number four, never refer to my face as my ass. Number five, never refer to my ass and face separately. Never refer to my ass, neither my face. Or you must own 4 watches, as I will be taking them and putting one on each of my dog's arms. I'll be taking your temperature every day for the first month you live here. If you have a higher than average temperature than me, then you have to pay for more of the AC cost in the summer, but less heating cost in the winter.
That's smart.
Do not sit down in this house unless you want me to put on a dumbass old-timey outfit and shine your shoes. Potential male roommates, you must put 1 foot up on the toilet when you pee into it. I told the neighbors your name is Austin, so that's what you answer to if we are in the front or backyard. Throughout the course of the week, you will round up, almost done, you will round up a minimum of 10 fluorescent tubes so that I may get drunk and smash them in the garage on Sunday nights. You will clean up the mess. If you drink beer in the living room, you have to drink an equal amount of piss. It is up to me. It is up to me which room is the living room at any given time.
Included, I like the Hunger Games element to that rule.
Included in the rent is a subscription to Netflix. Your name is on it is Darth Retard, and you're only allowed to watch Star Wars cartoons. I figured that that was, I thought you wrote this at some points.
The Clone Wars series, though, is extensive.
No matching socks are permitted. I choose the rent. I am allowed to kill without warning and with extreme prejudice.
Kill without
with
warning.
You prejudice. Have to write me a letter every morning stating that you love being a fag. You must bring a pet and give it to me legally. Snickers allowed on weekdays, but Milky Ways are forbidden. If I nail a rat to your door, it's time to pay the rent. Two rats, I'm having sex in there. A third rat, disregard the previous two. If I kill you in a video game, I get to kill you in real life. Now, no one knows if this guy is just being, you know.
And that's all one.
That's all.
I just assume this is like the highlights of all the best. But
No.
Wow.
No.
Yeah, so they can only have three pairs of pants and they have to give up four shirts.
Correct. The Chicago, you know, it's
I think
really
I currently
is.
Only fit into three pairs of pants, so.
Oh.
Well, I think I only own two, so do I have to buy a pair of pants?
No, you're not eligible. If you don't already own them, you cannot go.
Son of a bitch. I really had my heart set on that apartment. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The ground rules can be pretty much ridiculous.
I just love and I get to pick which room is the that's, living room.
At any given time.
At any given time. Yeah. If you drink beer, you must drink have to
equal amount of piss.
Jesus Christ.
Yep.
His response, get a bitch, get a donut. Oh, my
so
God.
Be careful of what you read. And what you answer to on Craigslist.
When my first bike got stolen, I went on Craigslist to see if anybody was trying to sell it.
Good call.
So somebody had told me to do that. Well, that led into the never-ending spiral of Craigslist for a good 3 weeks.
Misconnections are a good time.
Oh, my God.
So funny.
A good time.
So funny.
Those are fantastic.
Not going to lie to you, I responded to several.
Oh. Single girl Safeway? Is that where they were?
They were all over the place. I started checking into other cities and pretending I was that person. I was kind of catfishing people.
Wow.
Bring your own toilet. BYOT.
BYOT. I have to say, it really was amusing because people would write me back because they just assumed that I was the person that they accidentally touched their butt on the bus.
That's
or
how catfishing works.
Yeah.
That's actually the literal definition of how that works.
Oh, I can't believe you. Funny. You don't strike me as a person who would actually do that, Alfred.
Well, I didn't know. I was unaware of Craigslist.
I'm much more likely to do that.
Somebody told me.
Yes.
Somebody told me to look at Craigslist for my bike. Well, there was only like four bikes for sale for the whole. So I was like, well, what's this button do? You know what I mean? Kind of like the last thing the lady said on the space shuttle.
Wow!
Terrifying. I like that.
It wasn't her fault.
Go no. Throttle up. Ooh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry.
Oh, boy. I like it.
God.
That's fantastic. That I did. As I was reading that, I'm like, but, for real?
But then I got into a conversation that I really could not get out of, and I'm like, I gots to go. This is not... I don't think I was ever mean. But I never think I'm mean. So
yeah, you don't ever think you're mean.
Fair enough.
Other people, on the other hand.
Exactly. And when you can't see their face, you're like, are they at home crying?
It's so hard in plain text. Yeah,
exactly. There's no.
And that was probably before emojis.
I just learned, even if it was during emojis, I just sent my first emoji like 7 days ago, and I have no idea what it meant.
Which one was it?
I don't know. I hit it.
A pile
like,
of poo.
I didn't have my glasses on, so I'm like, I don't know what the fuck that means.
I'm now checking my text messages from Al Perkins. Oh, my God.
I haven't received one from him lately, so I guess
I don't
good.
Know. Whoever got it, they got in parentheses, that was my first emoji. Did I use it right? No reply.
Why can't you clarify that?
Yeah.
Got it.
I got no reply.
If you want to show me what you sent, I can tell you what it was.
Oh, there were so many texts last week. I was talking people off legends all over the place.
All over the place. Good for you. Afraid.
Oh, well, speaking of this past week, some Americans you may have heard, and you may have heard on this show, are very unhappy with last Tuesday's election results, but they have found a new creative way to protest, raise money,
and awareness. They're sending donations to Planned Parenthood in the name of Vice President-elect Periods for Pence.
Mike Pence. Yes.
Mike Pence. Fantastic. Who has called several times for cutting off federal funds to the organization. And as governor of the great state of Indiana, pause story, did you also hear that he is part of this whole fucking transition team, right? Like, he's head of the transition team, staying on as governor until the 9th, 11 days before they take office. He's going to stay governor of Indiana.
And did you hear why? Because he is being sued about emails. There's a court case about emails.
Oh,
I did hear that. Emails.
Jesus. Oh, that's right, because
Hillary calling.
On line two. That's right. Rachel, let's say Hillary on line two, Hillary Mr. Calling. Governor. So anyway, he's imposed tougher restrictions on abortion for women in his state. And that was the whole thing that, if I'm not mistaken, Kat actually brought to our attention.
Yeah.
The periods, yes, for, periods Pence. For Pence.
Because he wanted women to have they
funerals
had fewer
for
miscarriages.
Right. And miscarriage.
Well, Pence's controversies have often paled in comparison to those of his running mate. But many people unhappy with the election results have made an effort to include him in their protests nonetheless. Bethany Consentino of the band Best Coast was one of the first to bring wide attention to this campaign. Soon after, other celebrities such as Amy Schumer and Amber Tamblyn followed suit. Donations to Planned Parenthood have begun to swell, with many on social media donating and voicing their approval. Planned Parenthood even took a note thanking supporters for their donations in Pence's name. In a news release sent out on Tuesday, Planned Parenthood of Indiana and Kentucky said that the office has seen more than 25,000 in nearly 1,400 donations come through since Election Day. According to Allie Slocum, PPINC's communications director, it's looking like almost 90% of the donations have been made under Pence's name. She said that Pence will receive notifications of his donations made in his honor at his office in the Indiana State House. CNN called Pence's office. Calls were not immediately returned. Now,
they don't even answer the phone.
Oh, not anymore.
Sure.
Because the woman that was answering the phone was like, can a bitch get a donut? This phone is ringing off the hook about shit I do not know about.
So the Bethany Consentino of the band Best Coast is the first one. So she tweeted this, that you can make a donation to Planned Parenthood, Mike Pence's name, yada yada, you receive it. So there's the address if you guys want to send a donation to Planned Parenthood. I'm assuming their website you can go to and make a donation. Maybe you can just go locally, I'm not sure.
And better yet, while you're there, set up a small but recurring donation.
Right.
Yes.
Perfect.
Don't just donate one time. I mean, this is a great way, and this is going to raise them a lot of money.
And if you do a small, make sure you get your... The joke on Mike Pence is one thing. Get your tax donation for the other.
Sure.
Take advantage of a double tax thing there.
Well, do it even if it... And it doesn't have to be a large amount.
No.
Yeah. So set up $10 a month.
Do $5 to piss him off and then give the rest of it under your name so you get the tax break for
it.
But, you get the tax break regardless of who the name is under.
Absolutely.
As long as you pay it, it doesn't matter who
it
is.
I'm 100% on board then.
Recurring in Mike Pence's name.
Right.
Well, so we're
White House, attention.
This is what Planned Parenthood tweeted out. Thank you so much. We've been blown away by the support we have received.
Oh, I love
Many people are donating in Clinton or Pence's name.
I love it.
Now, hashtag we won't go back.
I want the Planned Parenthood people to just get it out into the universe. Thank you, Mike Pence, for supporting.
Oh, that would be fantastic, too.
Don't mealy mouth it like that. You know what I mean? Fuck him.
Yeah.
Fuck him in the ass.
Our
biggest supporter is Mike Pence.
That would be fantastic.
If you drink beer, you have to drink equal amounts of piss.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no.
And I get to decide where the living room is.
Exactly.
After my kumbaya moment a little while ago, also make sure when you fire, you know where that arrow lands.
Right. Yeah.
And make sure that he gets thanked for supporting Planned Parenthood.
So their donation amount is a $10 minimum. It's really easy. They're just a little click to make make this gift monthly.
Would you put the link in there?
Can you?
I'd be happy to.
I know you can do it, Kat. You built a fucking website today.
I sure did.
Meow Cal, I know you're not drinking, but I did put that link in there, huh? Did it work? I don't know. I'm hoping.
Oh, I see Mar put a link.
Yeah, I'm hoping it worked.
Maybe. That link.
We are... being that I don't believe anyone listens to the show.
Oh, you did.
In the family.
It works, Marnie.
That's what we intend to do for Christmas. The donations to Planned Parenthood.
That's very nice.
And hopefully, like, if that kind of thing can get started and people are looking for an idea. Because when Aaron's parents, I know for a fact, were real destroyed by the fact that Clinton didn't get elected, and it was a big deal. And so that, you know, putting a donation in their name rather than because they have what they need.
Right.
Right. And so
I think that's a nice way to celebrate the birth of what's his face.
Exactly.
Jenny, I just put the address back up on the screen. I'll leave it for a few seconds. You guys can write it down if you care to.
But I think it's a good thing to do to dare. If the holidays have become like a little bit of mass consumption.
Sure. Absolutely.
Then a donation in someone's name is a nice gesture
to the ACLU, thought of them. Planned Parenthood.
Yes, all these things.
It's way cooler than, you know, registering frankly, the fucking star that nobody can ever find.
Quite frankly, the idea, because I love that article, Clayton, and I love that that you took that one, because I just think that's great. Fuck you. Fuck you, Mike.
Oh, but I like the spin that Al's putting on it. He's been our best supporter.
Yes.
And that just will drive him crazy. Yeah,
we just can't thank you enough, Mr. Pence.
Yep.
But do the ACLU in Captain Khan's name. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as that goes, to be able to give that.
Don't be disappointed when the ACLU also has to defend the KKK march.
No, and that's the cool thing that the ACLU is all about, because protect the freedoms.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not agree with what somebody's saying.
Right.
But they can say it without inciting.
Right.
Right?
Then they're as long as they stay nonviolent and non-threatening. Yep.
Right. Absolutely.
Yep.
Go ahead, Clayton. I'm sorry.
No,
but your turn then.
Sorry.
See how it works? If she does a story, and then you do it.
No, he just did the Pence story.
The Pence was mine.
I felt that I didn't mean to step on that.
But no, we're done with that story. Now it's your turn.
Do you need to
see how this works? I should listen.
Well,
I think you guys should start saying the end, so that we know that your story's over.
Or maybe
a bitch get a donut. Well,
I would try to do the toss like they do in network news, but depending on who's talking, not going to fucking work anyway.
We interrupt.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So back to you, Mark.
If only you had a captive audience.
Back to you, fuckers.
Well. Can a bitch get a donut? No, I'm just doing it. The mayor of Clay, West Virginia.
I love this one. Go ahead.
Has resigned. Mm-hmm. And another county official is out following their exchange over a racist Facebook post that compared First Lady Michelle Obama to an ape in heels.
Oh my God, it was. Fuck you, people.
Seriously. What the fuck is.
I saw this.
The
so West Virginia,
employee.
You're back to sleeping with your cousin.
Exactly.
We don't need your eight votes.
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of the electoral
and
fuck
we're
you.
Back. Wait, can I get a donut?
I was hoping that wouldn't last very long, because, you know, you have to be able to comment. The county employee, Pamela Taylor, worked as director of the Clay County Development Corporation and wrote on Facebook, "It will be so refreshing to have a classy, beautiful, dignified first lady back in the White House."
Who's done soft porn?
Right. "I'm tired of seeing an ape in heels." She said, ape in heels, because she's the most smartest. According to a screen grab that someone made. Mayor Beverly Whaling commented on the post saying, "Just made my day, Pam." Just agreeing with the ape in heels.
Yeah.
And then later
the
came
mayor
out
said,
to
hey,
say,
"Hey, you're really racist comment just made my day.
Oh my God, you made my day." And came out later saying, "Oh, that was, I wasn't referring to that. It was something else and made my day," and like tried to play it off.
Nope.
No, not really. The Clay County Commissioner, Greg Fitzwater, confirmed to CNN that Whaling resigned, but did not know if Taylor was terminated or resigned her post. But he said that she was no longer working for the county. So both of them...
Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
Right.
We're out of waffles.
Yeah. Hashtag, you have more time to go to the zoo to see the apes that are in the zoo, because one was not in the White House. CNN has attempted to reach both Whaling and Taylor for comment, but oddly, they've not heard back at this point. But I was really excited to hear that they were just gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Great.
Can a bitch get a donut?
And when you're tottering on the edge of everyone's accusing you of being racist, and then you compare a black person to an ape, kind of a done deal.
Well, at least they put her.
You've kind of got nowhere to go.
Also, can we say how beautiful she is?
Oh, she's stunningly beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, for real. real. I just think that people are so fucking stupid.
And graceful and just and eloquently
articulate.
Spoken.
Yeah.
She's got so many things going for her.
And the kindness that she exudes. And the fact that for 8 years they have not had a scandal.
They're just cool.
They're just cool.
They're cool.
Bro.
Yep. Good call.
And you know they fucked Al. What's the Reverend Al?
Sharpton?
No. The singer. Al Green.
Al Green.
Oh. Oh, you just know clearly.
Yeah, good call.
Who and you just know they're waiting to fire up that bowl. They're like, we're going to Massachusetts.
That's what I said. I said that a long time ago.
Getting baked out of our gourds.
What? Yeah,
we're going to send the girls off to some weekend retreat. Mom and Dad's going to go on vacay for a few days.
That's right. We're going to college.
We're going to do the Boston Denver thing and check out the League of Weed.
I like it. Yeah. Oh, Mr. Mickey.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, how?
Oh, she tossed it to you.
I feel
Did you get your donut?
Not yet. That's after the show.
Well, but she just waffles.
I'm hijacking the drinking word. It's now we're all out of waffles.
I'm almost done with
they
this.
They both work.
Beautiful.
Clayton McKee, we're all out of waffles.
Oh. Well, I got syrup, though. I had waffles and syrup, and then I ran out of waffles, but I still got syrup.
Oh, fuck.
Well, Halloween may be over, but it still didn't stop the Cleveland Cavaliers from dressing up four of their fans in colorful hippopotamus costumes for an in-game contest on Sunday against the Charlotte Hornets. Why hippo costumes? Well,
because they want one for Christmas.
The Cavs decided to liven up their fan contest by having fans compete in a real-life version of the popular board game
Hungry Hippos!
Well, the contest was really just as magical as you might have imagined. We're gonna toss to video right now and show you just how lovely it was. Is it playing? Oh, not yet.
No.
Yep. There we go. Oh, there they are.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, that's fantastic.
I've seen this on YouTube before.
That's awesome.
So they roll them up, they grab all the balls. I think that's fantastic to see them do that.
It really is.
Hopefully the Cavs will keep up the classic board game themes all season and have fans compete with other classics like Mousetrap and Operation.
And Clue.
And Clue. Oh, they could hit people with lead pipes in a library.
Oh, Jesus. It'd
be lovely. But I thought that was so cute that all these people just get them out there on the floor.
They got them belly down on skateboards.
I think that's fantastic.
How fun that was.
Good stuff.
Anywho.
Super cute.
Super fun.
Hungry hippos.
So, gentlemen, not that in this room, perhaps. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
I thought we were doing a holler back.
I know, right? Hello.
Hello. Yeah.
It's called a call and repeat.
What's cooler than being cool?
All right, then.
Ice cold.
So, I will point more to the gentleman, because one does not have to be on birth control, simply because they are not wanting to have a child, right? Right.
Sure.
Oh, you're saying, we
just correct?
Yeah.
Sure.
You don't. I was on Depo Provera.
I was really confused by the question, too. No,
I mean,
it's not your fault.
That's a long time.
Keep going, because I'm like, how does this donut affect me?
Because birth control shots for men are now an effective form of contraception.
Oh, yes.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's very exciting.
Geneva, Switzerland. But the side
effects.
Look
how excited I am.
The side effects are apparently a really big
it's problem. Horrible, I heard.
Can a bitch get a
donut? Well, that's one of the side effects.
Are the side effects no babies come out? Because then I think it works.
An international study just found they're almost as effective as the pill for women, these shots. And it's been published, like in Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism. So, I mean, it's a
reputable.
Thank you.
If you're looking for me for a word, you're in trouble.
No, fuck.
Amen.
The injection, the injections work by using hormones to drastically lower the sperm count. Of the 266 married men who participated in the study, only four became fathers. Did they test the... Anyway. Sounds promising, but the gender gap in contraceptive use may not close anytime soon. For one thing, the pharmaceutical companies aren't throwing a whole lot of money at the idea. They're way more into the Viagra kind of thing. Their concern may be that there's a lack of profitability. Maybe there's a question of gender bias.
There's an idea.
There's a concern of regulatory hurdles. In addition, it's not as easy to stop 1,500 sperm that are produced per second as opposed to one egg per month.
Fair point.
Another
That's
concern.
Good math.
Hang on. Go back. Math.
Uh-huh.
How How many sperm a month are produced?
No, 1,500 sperm that are produced per second.
Oh, second?
Yeah. You boys are busy.
There's a lot of swimmers.
There's a lot of donuts.
A lot happening. All right. Just keep swimming.
All right.
Anyway.
What the hell was that, Alfie?
Just ran into an old friend.
Looks like you blew a seal. No, it's ice cream.
There you have it. Another concern are the side effects.
I'm going to play that.
Researchers actually stopped the study early. You ready, boys?
Uh-huh.
Due to mood changes and depression in some of the participants. Researchers say other side effects were acne, injection site pain, and increased libido. Here's what I have to say, boys.
Let me tell you. Hang on a second. Moody, horny boys is no joke. You don't want to fuck around with that.
I don't care. And fuck off. You've got to be kidding me.
Was that my entire teenage year?
Right. But isn't that ridiculous?
That's because me on a Wednesday. Settle down.
Women go through that all the time. But those poor boys, they got, that's a problem. You poor little things.
Plus, I mean, you, like, think about it, ladies. Mm-hmm. Those of you that are of the heterosexual variety. But... You say to your gentleman,
yes,
sir.
I'm using the term loosely.
Did you get your shot,
honey? Did you do those dishes? Oh yeah. Did you call? Oh yeah. Take your shot. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
None of those things happened.
None of those things happened.
He's still sitting on the couch with his hands down his pants, thinking,
"What if? What if you could be the one? What if you could be the one if it were like insulin?"
And you administered the shot.
Right. Just jamming it in his ass while he's sleeping.
That's right. By you, but there's
you're gonna take this anally.
But there's some pain.
Now you're
in the fat part, dumbasses.
Not poor little delicate flowers.
Well, I mean, you gotta know your audience.
Where would you like this? Honey?
Listen, wherever
in the butt, Bob. Yeah.
I'm only marginally listening to the story anyway.
And then it went up the ass.
For real.
The look up.
Where's your favorite place to make whoopee?
In the butt, Bob.
I'm sorry. I watch too many hospital drama shows, and so whenever they give an injection of any kind, it's in the ass cheek.
Sure. Or in the arm.
It's in the ass cheek.
Usually the ass cheek, because that means that
pull down and you can see
the cute boy has to pull his pants down a little bit. Right.
Fair enough.
Crazy
Anatomy 101.
An IM shot in the butt cheek.
It has to be like in here, right?
No, it's an IM, and you either do it like you get the muscle intramuscular, either do it there, or you get to do it in the gluteus.
Maximus. I mean,
in the ass.
Yeah. I've decided.
I know my fake medical.
Can a bitch get a donut? If you're not going to put that rectally, can a bitch get a donut?
Meow, Cal, you need to pay a lot more attention to this show.
I'm going to have to put my pants back on. I misunderstood where that shot was.
What did you need?
Meow, Cal, keep paying the same amount of attention to the show. Meow, Cal,
we're talking about birth control up the ass.
I'm going to need you to remove your pants. I'm here for an eye exam.
Unrelated, but still appropriate.
It's a retinal shot. Yeah. In the ass.
Retinal, yes. Not rectal.
Yeah. Oh, rectal. Oh, I got that confused. Oh. I'm dyslexic. I have trouble in school.
I'm dyslexic. I keep putting things in my ass.
No wonder it's not effective.
I have foot and mouth disease. Is this correct? I'm sorry.
Do not insert rectally. That should be written on so many things.
Isn't it on like the McDonald's coffee and the hair dryers and all that?
This is hot. Do not insert rectally.
Chicken nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. It's all over. I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. Fair warning, really.
Based on the comment I made earlier about Al, looks like he blew a seal. I've decided I'm going to play this just because I can. So stand by. It's only 40 seconds.
Penguin takes his car into the shop, and the mechanic says he needs an hour to check it out.
What kind of car?
What kind of a damn penguin car? All right. Anyway, he goes across the street to the 7-Eleven to kill some time and get an ice cream. Penguins love ice cream.
Really?
Sure. But because he's got no hands, the poor little guy gets the ice cream all over his beak.
It's going somewhere.
So he goes back to the mechanic. The guy tells him, looks like it blew a seal. The penguin tells him, no, that's just a little ice cream.
Pornographic chimps. Where does one go to find such a thing?
This is what we've been missing for about the last decade.
Pretty much Clay, West Virginia, I think you can go to.
I always loved that joke. And I love when the monkeys tell it.
Well, I just love that. I mean, I've heard that joke, but a monkey has never shared it with me at a bar.
How many monkeys?
Here's where I surgery diverge.
How many monkeys have ever been a bartender?
Nope, stop.
Yep, stop. 7.
Oh, Smitty. Man, my name's not Smitty.
You're so funny. Now, what was our agreement again? 1 month or $1,000? Has it been a month already? No, ma'am. About the tab. Oh yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, here's a story that Smokey the Bear would not approve of. A wannabe weatherman in Kentucky was arrested last week after he admitted that he started a forest fire to generate attention to his own Facebook videos, according to the Associated Press. Johnny Mullins, who's 21 years old, faces a second-degree arson charge for a wildfire that began in Lector County, Kentucky. Jenkins Police Chief James Stevens explained that Mullins' misguided motive was to blame for the fire. He likes to do Facebook videos and have people follow him on his weather forecasts. So that's pretty much why he did what he did, the chief told the Associated Press. He enjoyed the attention he got from the Facebook stuff. Police told WLEX-TV that he did not connect Mullins to any other fires in the area. Mullins called his reports to the Weather Outlook, according to NBC News. His most recent video titled Dangerous Forest Fires.
I started.
Has more than 5,000 views on Facebook, likely due to his news of his arrest. Hundreds of wildfires had been reported across the Southeast in recent weeks, many of which were caused by arson, according to the Weather Channel. I want some likes to my Facebook page. How can I get those?
Let's start a fire.
Listen, I just started a website, so I'm taking notes.
Traffic is up at Kat Carlson's page.
So I have to admit that I pay special attention to the Smokey the Bear commercials because I find them riveting. Okay. Enthralling. I'm thinking, can a bitch get a donut? And then I watched the commercial. Right. Mm-hmm. I probably knew about it if I thought about it long enough. No one had told me about the danger of dragging chains of tow trucks throwing sparks.
Sparking, and I'm like, the rocks.
Well, rocks. Shit, damn, mm-hmm. Smokey.
Actually, it comes from people pulling boats or travel trailers that cause that. So if you don't wrap the chains enough around the hitch, they dingle and jingle. And then, exactly right.
Jingle.
Well, the other one, if I'm not mistaken, Southern California many years ago, there was actually somebody in an RV. They were pulling a boat and they had a blowout on the trailer and didn't know about it. It was the one on the passenger side of the trailer. And the sparks of the rim against the pavement had caused enough sparks and started a fire is what they determined. Because they had no idea that the trailer had just given out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Imagine an imaginary manger managing an imaginary menagerie. What?
Imagine
an imaginary manager managing an imaginary menagerie.
There you go. Woo! That was only 2 tries. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Say it 3 times fast. Don't do it. Come on.
Oh, you... No. Never mind.
No?
What happened?
I want him to do it 3 times fast.
Imagine an imaginary manager managing an imaginary menagerie. Imagine an imaginary manager managing an imaginary menagerie. Got a bitch, got a donut. What's my prize?
I'm lightheaded and I didn't even say.
Yeah, seriously. I was like, all right. I like it.
Ryer.
All right. So this will be kind of the last because it's meant as to be a funny, even though it's probably not super funny. Kind of like that thing in West Virginia. Remember when I did that story about the axe? And
I still don't know what people, that story was about.
The people that were killed. It was fucking funny. That's still. Anyway,
we have no digress. Idea. We still.
Yeah.
Was I here?
No
yeah,
idea.
You were. Okay. Yeah, y'all just gotta start. I still have that. I'll read it a different time.
How about alone?
Anyway. December 6th sounds like a good day to do that.
Oh, December 6th. Yeah. There'll be no show that day. So you read it that day, Marnie.
All right. Please.
Next week is Thanksgiving. Fake Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
So it has to do, because seriously, it's fucking ridiculous, with the Trump nominees for some of the cabinet positions.
Mm-hmm.
Doggy, is that one of the positions?
I wish we could put them in a cabinet.
The burst cowgirl.
As we had kind of discussed at the beginning.
That way you can't see you eating the donut.
Oh.
Because you're facing the other way watching the X-Files.
Right.
Yeah.
Apparently whipping your head
I'm
like that.
I'm watching Rachel Maddow. Like, it don't matter who's back there.
As far as the...
do your thing.
As far as the probable appointees, and I don't know if any of you have heard of any of the others, but did you hear about Dr. Laura? So she may be
like health and
was
human
it communications.
No, communications. Yeah. Communications. The person who's like been kind of anti-media. That one made me laugh. That Giuliani doesn't want attorney general. Apparently, that's not. Or
it seems like a lot of work general, for him.
But he wants secretary of state, and that's probably.
She's press secretary.
Press secretary. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
He wants the secretary of state, and that I just about lost it. It's iffy because of some things that his in the past that he had business ties, because that's not the way it is for Donald.
Yeah.
Right. So there are all these different people that are coming up. The Steve Bannon, as far as being. In any position in the White House, he probably just wants to be in it because it's white.
Yeah.
I mean...
because he likes the color.
Apparently, he's very...
love comes in many colors, but it looks best in white.
Best in white. Ain't I handsome.
She's God's answer to Barbra Streisand.
Do you think we need to get him, like, a... what?
The good news is all
a Shave Club membership? Because exactly. Why does he look like a fucking hobo?
But the bulk of these guys are old.
Old.
So they're all... God willing and the creek don't rise, they're all going to drop dead during this thing, because there's not a healthy one amongst them.
No.
Whatever that rot is in the bottom row of Giuliani's
seriously.
Teeth is going to go straight to his heart soon.
Well,
because, I mean, that is...
Oh, look at me. But not just that. He also is... He's
got cross-rotten of the mandible.
And mental illness.
Oh, like, severe.
For real.
Yeah.
But that Bannon douchebag... he's an alcoholic. There are no two. I mean, he has all the signs with the nose and the.
I do not like to diagnose over the camera, over the video, but I'm just saying.
I forgot to shave. And
he may be able to drink. What's the last orange one?
Oh, the Orange Crush?
No, the last orange guy that we had that was the Speaker of the House. Boner.
Oh, Boehner.
Oh, Boehner. Yeah. Boner.
Boehner. That you could just tell he had to put on a lot of pancake makeup to cover the fact that he was just trashed.
He was drunk, I think, almost the
no,
whole
he
time.
Was. They said.
Yeah. Oh, I
Bible loving, crying alcoholic. He was Jason Carlton.
Oh.
Oh. I love
get
you,
a
Jason.
Bitch, get a
now
donut.
We're calling out our friends.
Well, I don't see that redness in anyone mentioned.
I'm going to
drink. Aside from Bannon. But have you got, I mean, some of the faces that they have had up, it's just too much. The white privilege that is up on the screen when they show the people that he's choosing. I don't know.
It really is the greatest hits of a retirement home.
Well, Cindy Hayden, who I'm not familiar with, but apparently is a tobacco
Arizona?
Giant, Altria. Is in charge of Trump's Homeland Security team, apparently. But they've talked about Joe Arpaio as well.
Who's like 84.
Right, but still, the reason that he was so good with his concession speech here is because he's like, bitches, I got to go. I got a job ahead of me.
And a lot of these people have to be
vetted
and they have to be approved by Congress.
Right.
And, like,
well,
I learned
it's
a little something
like,
about
but I really, I really think... I really think Giuliani has a shot for whatever he wants to do because
too, but
the insanity,
God.
Again, because of the bubble that we live in,
sure.
We think the world knows he's insane. They don't.
No. Well, clearly.
No, I mean, they like, we think they know he's insane. They don't know.
No, and
they
the
only
ones
see
that
the
do?
They only see the mayor of New York and then a couple speeches. They haven't been following the right. crazy.
Well, except for the, you know, the Putins and the Middle East people that are like...
Yeah, I mean, but we're giving people credit for things like they don't get what Putin is. Like it's not
who's they?
Like these people in the middle that they're not frightened by this Putin thing because they don't really get what that is.
Sure,
they're that's so fair. Because they think the president really doesn't do much and that a reality star is the perfect person for it.
You're fired.
Yeah.
Stephen Hart is a chairman of Williams and Jensen in charge of the labor team, supposedly. His clients are like Visa, the American Council of Life Insurers, Anthem, Coca-Cola, General Electric. So, I mean, this big business that he's not.
Oh, it's all lobbyists and big business.
All of it.
And he's really old white guys.
Very. Because he's going to get rid of all of that.
The fact that he found one woman to put somewhere
right.
besides the crone from our state, whose name I can't quite come
Jan
up
Brewer.
With.
Jan Brewer. Mm-hmm. The fact that any of that, it's that kind of thing. The names that are coming out, and again, the promises, I'll do this. I'm waiting to see when any kind of a revolt will come from the people that were like,
but he's putting
Yay!
In all the lobbyists, all the money. He's putting in Arpaio.
Elizabeth Warren wrote an 8-page letter to that effect.
Okay. I didn't realize that. I didn't hear that.
Wait, where did it go?
I do too. I saw her on Maddow. Mm-hmm. She was awesome.
On front, was it?
Complete with like referenced footnotes and everything. Elizabeth Warren basically says, "Hey, so you
I love it.
And I'll post a link to it in the chat room. You said in your campaign that you were going to drain the swamp and la la la, and now you've got all these like elite lobbyists,
swamp things,
insiders,
the people that have no job outside of the swamp. Yeah. They don't go to anywhere that's not in the swamp."
And she finishes her letter. I think is this from today? What's the date? Scroll back up. November. Yeah, this is from today, November 15th.
It's like I can't scroll for you. I can't do that.
Somebody scroll for me.
Oh,
yeah. And she finishes it with, "If you need help finding people that are outside of Washington but are qualified, you just go ahead and let my office know."
Yeah.
I love it.
I love her.
She's very helpful.
That's fantastic.
Which one do
I'm
you
gonna,
want to
post
up,
a
Al?
Thing.
Oh, just pull
they're
up a couple.
They're fucking hilarious.
Oh.
There's got to be a thing. So they're and then
so funny.
On the page they're talking about the Joe Biden and Obama memes.
I love them.
Which
they're hilarious.
Seriously, as far as therapy goes, thanks, they have
That's
been
good
the
therapy.
Yeah.
I'm not giving him the Wi-Fi password.
Joe.
I said what I said.
I said that would kill me. I said what I said.
Joe, did you replace all of the toiletries with travel size? He's got really small hands. I want him to feel welcome.
Okay, the baby hands
that
thing.
Was your Nintendo. I showed him where the buttons were.
That was your Nintendo.
Oh my god. That was fucking awesome.
I said what I said.
Yeah.
And the other,
hold hands just for a little bit longer.
Why? Just go play along.
Go with it. We're gonna freak Pence out.
That one delighted me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'll look up on Barbara's page.
And also the fact that all of a sudden Obama he's found a job for when he's done being president, because now he gets to be a fucking tutor to President Trump.
Yeah, because he's going to call him on the regular.
Because he had to spend 90 minutes with him rather than the short period of time they were supposed to spend together. Because Trump's like, "What's a president?"
Yeah.
I mean, he has no fucking idea.
No, he really doesn't. There's a letter going around, and I'm on three different like support groups now. Not support groups, but there's the pantsuits people who I absolutely love. They
love
were
them.
A great time. There's the Stronger Together group that I'm with, and Forever Hillary. And somebody put in a letter today from Obama it was a letter from Obama to a woman who was like once removed from the person who posted it.
Okay.
And the letter from Obama said, "We were as disappointed as you were. We were as sad as you are. Don't give up the fight. We're still going. There's not much I can do from here, but I'll be a private citizen soon. Mm. So after a short vacation, probably March, we will start our grassroots organization. The fight continues."
Okay.
give us a little time to ourselves. And it's a letter that's circulating. So if you haven't been invited, let me know if you want to be. It's called There's Pantsuit Nation, right?
Yeah, I'm on Pantsuit and Feminist Fight Club.
Feminist Fight Club. And then I have the Still Stronger Together and the other one. But, oh my God. But I want to, like somebody just said up on the board, I really want to, Joe, can a bitch get a donut?
Fucking Biden.
And because,
can't you see him like just going around doing the comedy
Uncle
clubs?
Joe,
he's
yeah.
just gonna go around to do the comedy clubs. He's not, and now, skipping interviews, just.
And speaking of no more fucks to give, he's got nothing.
Uncle Joe got nothing to lose.
No. Uncle Joe had a shot of a nice ambassadorship if he wanted to, if Hillary won. But now he's in a position, he's just gonna go mouth off on every fucking show.
Good.
And you're just gonna get Scranton, Pennsylvania Catholic up in your grill.
Well, and if Trump has his
way, drunk while he does it.
Then isn't he going to pass a law that if anybody says anything mean against him, he can be mean back and sue him?
And now,
immediately write your letters.
What is from the John Adams Acts of Sedition?
Is it the Sedition Acts? What's the one from John Adams' administration? There is a precedent. Unfortunately, in all this time of studying the presidents, there is a...
Stand by.
There is a precedent for that. It's called.
That's the one that Kat was just talking about.
A series of laws. I said what I said.
I said what I said.
A series of laws known collectively as the Alien and Sedition Acts, passed by Congress in 1798, signed into law by President Adams. Crap, and it doesn't tell me what it is. Stand by.
But it is about bad mouthing the president or the federal government.
Yeah, but if you're put. Well, then. Saturday but I'm night. Just saying, I hope you're going to do that, by the way.
Yeah.
But Saturday Night Live, any late night comedian.
Yes, and that's what I'm saying. Like there is a precedent for a president putting this kind of thing down. Like he's not going into uncharted waters. Mm.
He's
just
going into an uncharted swamp.
Right. So it's very scary because, like I said, listen to that podcast presidential. I mean, listen to it. This is
over and over again because sometimes I kind of like eyes glaze over.
But like this,
it's not going anywhere. And she's talking about a season two. I don't know what she's going to do, but she's talking about a
season.
She's not
a president, so I don't know what she's. Maybe the runners up.
Are we going to do VPs? Or are we going to
Did you see this one?
That's the one we were just talking about. Okay.
Yeah, but why?
Just roll with it.
Yeah. Just roll.
And why are they? I mean, it's got to be. I don't know. Is that like? Photoshop, but it's delightful.
Team effort.
All right, I gotta pee. Do your stories. Tell each other stories.
It's all you, fun, sir.
I got one more story left, then we're going to entertainment!
Yay!
My gosh.
I know.
We're very busy.
Very.
It was one spirited campaign in Southern California. A man who was running for re-election as Oceanside, California City Treasurer, he was successfully defeated by his opponent, Oceanside City Treasurer successfully defeated his opponent on Tuesday despite having passed away over a month ago. Gary Ernest, who was 61, received 6 percentage points more of the vote than his challenger, Nadine Scott, who had tirelessly worked to inform the public of Ernest's September 23rd death. Officials in Oceanside announced that Ernest would remain on the ballot because there really wasn't enough time to scrub his name from the ballots that had already been printed. Scott, speaking to NBC7, said that she hopes she will still be appointed to honor the 15,500 people who voted for her, but at least one of her critics has different plans. Oceanside City Councilman Jerry Kern, who continued to rally the public support in Ernest after his death, hopes that Scott's defeat will lead the city council to appoint someone else. Quote, even though Gary passed away, he is still better qualified than she is. Quote, he told the Voice of San Diego newspaper. If the city doesn't appoint someone in Ernst's place, the other option would be to hold a special election, which ABC 10 News reported that would cost about $500,000.
This is straight out of the West Wing from like 15 years ago, by the way. This is how Sam Seaborn became a congressman.
Scott said Kern is entitled to his own opinion, but argued that she is certainly qualified for the position, especially over someone who is dead. Quote, I have governmental experience, I have a law degree and legal background, and I have also been a district treasurer for the last 20 years, she told ABC News.
Those dipshits. She's qualified. Oceanside, Harrison says.
Yeah, those dipshits in Oceanside. Did anybody else hear this headline today? Speaking of someone who was potentially not qualified or was allegedly not qualified.
I did not win my election. No, it wasn't a headline, but I did not win.
So you heard that old Cheeto Jesus there was going to appoint sleepy man Ben Carlson for Ben Carlson to a cabinet appointee, and Carlson said no.
Carson.
No. He said he doesn't want to do it. Why? He said, quote, "I've never run a federal agency. I'm not qualified to do so." You were running for president.
He didn't mean it.
Also, they were going to give him Secretary of Education.
Doesn't Seriously, matter.
Like, five of those 16 people that started out didn't mean it.
Yeah.
One of them won.
They wanted a book tour.
Yeah.
And one of them wanted a media empire.
Right.
Wasn't that the same thing with...
I've never been in charge of a federal company before.
The pizza guy.
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain.
Now, let's settle down on the Herman Cain, because one of his most powerful speeches, if you remember...
30 minutes or it's free?
No.
And I hold him to it every time.
Standing
there with a stopwatch.
Some very, very wise person watching one of his speeches realized... you're quoting the theme from Pokemon 2000.
Yes, I remember that.
Written by Donna Summer.
Yes.
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
I do recall that.
He did this whole speech about the power of one and about believing.
Let me see if I can find the song.
Oh my God, I don't remember that at all.
It was just so lucky that a Donna Summer fan was listening to be like, wait, I can sing that. What is up?
I can put that.
Hold on, get a biscuit, a donut.
That's a lyric.
Oh, I think we have to violate some copyrights. While you find that, I'm gonna send you a link.
Oh, hang on a minute.
Yay. It starts in the
heart and flows. That's her. The soul
and changes the world. And he was speaking these lyrics
as his speech.
So he was Melania Trump before Melania Trump.
Yeah. And it really is an inspiring song. One of the people in the Olympics skated to it. Like,
sure.
Christy Yamaguchi.
And that would make sense.
Is that a name? Did I make that up?
Yeah, it's all the letters are right.
She did her like giving away her crown on the ice to that song.
Wow.
Yeah.
And somebody else did Gold by Linda Edder. So it was a great year at the Olympics.
By the way, I do appreciate the hand motion by Al. He's like,
Did you need me to pause for something? What are you doing?
No, I'm gonna. We're gonna break a law.
Soak in the moment.
Or whatever it is.
We're gonna break a law now or in coming.
No, I'm gonna send it to you for entertainment.
Oh, that'll be exciting. Well, we're going to entertainment now. Tell me when you're ready. We'll wait. We'll wait anxiously.
Just find yourself. Find Superstar by Nick Carpenter.
Oh, I'll find. I can do that because we're gonna let Leonard Cohen. All right.
So here we go. Entertainment. We're back, bitches. Fuck you.
This time it's personal.
That's right.
I have to tell you, we got to thank Barbara Seville, because something she put on the Facebooks yesterday was the first time I have genuinely just openly laughed at something and not just contemplated it in about a week.
Nice.
And I actually wrote at the bottom of it, like, I don't know what this thing is about. But anyways.
That was your entire intro.
And right, we got dead people. We've got movies. We've got Broadway shows. So
I'll find it.
Shall we start with dead person numero uno?
Oh, sure.
And I have to tell you, because I went into media, and I have not been in media complete silence since about 1971. Yeah, right. It's been a while.
Close to you is what you wanted?
Been a hot minute, huh?
Close to you is what you wanted?
No, Superstar.
Superstar, my bad. Go ahead.
So I really did not leave the house. I left here, chin up. Mm-hmm. Regaining a little bit of dignity and just a little bit of a donut.
Yeah.
Went home and just broke down.
Yeah.
Like any kind of medicinal things I had in the house that I could not overdose in, make up what you want in that spot. We used it.
Okay.
And liberally.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
What was he killed him with without prejudice? What was that phrase? Your guy that in the Craigslist ad, I'm going to kill you with extreme prejudice. Whatever that was. Yeah. I mean, smoke him if you got him.
I'm going to find it just to make sure. But yes,
and I did. Yes. You know what I mean? To quote Rocky Horror. So it was a rough couple days. And then I come to for a moment. And I see on the Facebooks or something that Leonard Cohen had died. Mm. And I'm like, sweet mother of Christ, the hallelujah has died.
Yeah.
Like, and so I got a little bit because some people think of him as like a one-hit wonder or a one-note wonder. So I wanted to bring it up. He was born in 1934, Canadian singer, songwriter, poet, novelist. Not him. Wrong guy. Hallelujah by Katie Lang, you could throw that in here. His work explored religion, politics, isolation, sexuality, personal relationships. He was inducted into both the Canadian Music Hall of Fame and the Canadian Songwriters Hall of Fame, as well as the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was a companion of the Order of Canada, the nation's highest civilian honor. He received one of the Prince of... And his greatest gift, as far as I'm concerned, was he gave us the song Hallelujah. He wrote it. If you get a chance, it was on my Facebook page, but there's a performance, and he's a gravelly voiced, very soulful singer, but not someone that you would think of as like he's a diva. But the power with which he performs this song is just lovely, with his backup singers, and he gives you all that you need. On a personal note, I had that guy that I talk about in New York that I was seeing, that we would do that thing where we would go to Virgin Records and we would exchange favorite things. And he put the Jeff Buckley CD in my hand in like 97 or 98. And he was like, listen to this. And that's where I found Hallelujah. Listen to it. And then in the age of like not, you know, no way to burn CDs, I forgot about it for a long time until American Idol. The kid with the dreads did it. And I was like, that's that fucking song by that guy that drowned in the river. Whatever. Jeff Buckley died like standing up in a river one day in like Alabama.
I did not know that.
Oh yeah, he died in one of the most bizarre rock accidents ever. Jeff Buckley died swimming with friends in a local river and just dead. Like,
all right.
Nothing else involved. Just forgot how to stand up. So anyways, the song
are
comes
very
back
dangerous.
And then
flowing.
Current.
The currents. Song became pop and everyone Undertow. Started talking about the song because of the kid on American Idol. And the song became part of the national... It just became big again.
Yeah,
and
it did.
Katie Lang did an album called Songs from the 43rd Parallel or 42nd Parallel, and it was all Canadian writers. And she... And I'm like, I am all nipples and goosebumps
and
right now. Listening to the lovely Kat Carlson sing Hallelujah.
That's not the first time I've heard that.
That's funny. And it's just so beautiful. But the thing that people don't know is that Jeff Buckley's version and then Katie Lang and her remake, they leave out a verse from the end of the song. And now I'm really heartbroken that it's going to take me a second to find it because I would like to quote it directly. So this week, Saturday Night Live had the two jobs to do of reconciling the end of Kate McKinnon probably ever doing Clinton in a meaningful way again. And someone who was on Saturday Night Live was a performer on there a few times. And so they did Hallelujah. And because it's not in the Jeff Buckley version, he didn't sing it. And then in Katie Lang's version, she does an extra verse, but she doesn't do the last verse. So
that was brilliant.
Give me just a second and I will find the actual... In case you didn't see it.
And while you're looking for that, anyone who did not see Saturday Night Live?
I haven't watched
it. Yeah, and I'm not stepping on toes because he'll go into it, but find it. Watch the clips. There were a few things that were in there that were very smart, and I never realized how smart Dave Chappelle is.
Oh, Dave Chappelle was the perfect guest host. His opening monologue and the thing about election night with the women against the black men was just it was genius. But they open it up, and so they always give me, here we go,
is the verse you're looking for. I did my best, it wasn't much.
Yeah so I just found it. So what they did was they had Kate McKinnon as Hillary, and turns out Kate McKinnon can play the piano too, so she's at a grand piano at the head of the stage.
She can do no wrong.
She do?
Right.
And she just sat
Kate
there
McKinnon
and very simply with the band teary-eyed watching her. They did not accompany her, the band just watched her, and she did Hallelujah. She did the first verse, the traditional second verse, and then she went into the verse that usually only Leonard Cohen does. And so I'm not gonna make it through this.
Do it.
So it's, I did my best, it wasn't much, I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I've told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the... the Lord of Song, and with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah. Like, just devastating. Yeah. And then she looks at the camera and she says, I'm not stopping, neither should you. Or I won't give up, neither should you. Fucking done. Yeah. Cold open, no laughs.
Done.
And she played herself in the piano, and she sang it as Hillary.
Grand piano. She was in the
suffragette costume, the white pantsuit. Oh,
yeah. It was brilliant.
Just brilliant. And everyone thought they had written that verse for her because it's not in the Jeff Buckley version, and Katie Lang didn't do it either. And then I think it was the closing ceremonies from Vancouver that they brought out all the people from Canada to sing, and the very last song that they did in the closing ceremonies from Vancouver is they put Katie Lang on the pedestal, and she sang Hallelujah to the Lights. So just when you think you get over that song, they find another way to fuck in the ass. Can a bitch get a donut?
We're out of donuts. I got a fortune cookie out here.
Speaking of menopause, that's not a donut.
We're out of donuts.
Take that rectally.
We're all out of waffles.
So I was shocked by that. And then another, we'll do the second death. And this one, no one has heard of him anymore.
Not as devastating.
This it was to me personally, but the rest of the world did not mourn him. It kind of went away. His name is Leon Russell.
I knew who
he was. Don't cry. I don't like it when you cry.
No, I won't cry over him. But he wrote some absolutely beautiful, beautiful songs. And he was his own. He recorded as a country artist named like Hank Martin or some shit. And he had a couple hits that I knew of because I just didn't know it was Leon Russell. I didn't realize it was an alter ego.
Oh.
And he ended up being white hair, white beard.
He looked like Santa. Mm-hmm. And like he was
so big in the day that Elton John opened for him.
Love Santa.
Yeah, he does look like Santa. But Elton John was his opening act. Yeah, Santa just is white. But Leon Russell died. And the song that most people know by him is that he wrote Superstar.
Yes.
I love you. I really do. So it turns out,
can a bitch get a donut?
We should take this shit on the road.
Yeah, we should.
Karen Carpenter.
Turns out it's a dirty song.
she need a donut.
He ain't heavy.
Yeah. It's written about the start of groupies. So that the line about what to say to make you come again, like all of that is intentional. Like that's not some strange double entendre. And this song was written by him about groupies that were sleeping with bands and kind of like the ick factor of these groupies. And it was recorded as a B-side from some band I never, ever heard of. But it turns out Rita Coolidge was part of this band. Mm. And she thought the song was kind of fun. So she brought the song along when she used to open for Joe Cocker. And then Joe Cocker and her and some people had this band I never heard of that were kind of popular for a hot minute.
Cocker and Coolidge
like
or something?
Like the Highwaymen or some shit.
Highwaymen was...
But it's very similar to the Highwaymen, like... the Byway Men or some shit. But so it was Rita Coolidge's, and she would perform it in concert all the time as an opening act for Joe Cocker. Bette Midler picked it up with Barry Manilow because they liked Rita Coolidge because she was touring with these people that, and Bette Midler does a lot of Joe Cocker songs in her early years. So it's on Superstars on her first album.
Mm.
And she thought it would be a hit. Well, in the meantime, some motherfucker named Richard Carpenter hears it, likes it, decides it needs to be cleaned up and glossed over a little bit. So instead of, I can't, what's the second verse? I can't wait to sleep with you again. It's, I can't wait to see you again.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed it and just changed a word or two to make it a little less. And they left that what to say to make you come again. But the way she phrases it, it's not so dirty. Come back to me again, you know, and she gives it that longing that only a skinny girl can. So it turns out, like, the Carpenters are, like, ninth one on the rag on this one. And they have the big hit. So everybody assumes that, A, they wrote it, and B, that it's about her. What's it say?
That's great. Well,
since I've interrupted you, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and there's a picture of a sad Michelle Obama holding up, like, a piece of paper, and the writing on it says, "An immigrant is taking my job."
Brilliant. I love it.
So that's funny.
So, so that was, but also,
I was clearly listening.
Yeah. So Leon Russell wrote that song. He also wrote, A Song for You, which Bobby Womack made very famous. And Bobby Womack died a year or two ago. He also wrote, This Masquerade that George Benson made famous. And then my favorite, and I put it on my Facebook yesterday, was, from, Barbra Streisand's version of A Star Is Born. He and Barbara Streisand wrote Lost Inside of You. Mm-hmm. And what they did for the movie is they just reenacted the actual thing that happened with the songwriting of her sitting at a piano playing a piece of music that she had written, just playing around because she was learning how to play the piano. And he comes over and tells her to make a pretty song. And he sings the lyrics while she's playing the piano, and they put together a song, and she's just amazed. And that really was from a songwriting session that she had had with Leon Russell. And I don't remember if on the Star Is Born soundtrack it's a duet or it's just her singing, but Just for the Record came out later, and they have the whole, like, lead up to it. Delaney and Bonnie was the band.
I don't know Delaney and Bonnie. I've not heard
that's
that.
That's who originally sang the song, but then Rita Coolidge and Joe Cocker were part of something else, and it was like, it was like one of those Highwaymen Asia super groups that are really, like, different, you know, like, Yes is really just...
Seals and Croft.
That's really kind a band, a though. Yeah.
No, but I mean, they
but
were
they had separate
individual.
And together, yeah. So, I mean, it was just sad, but if you've ever heard A Song for You, it's just... I put a thing on there, because it used to be Donna Summer's encore. She would sing it between... She would sing it before Last Dance became her encore. Mm. And if the crowd was wild enough, she would throw that in there. And she made it kind of Jesus-y, but it's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's probably one of the most beautiful songs written. It's called A Song for You. You can hear it sung by just about everybody covered it from like 1975 to about 1985. Okay. It's on everybody's album that doesn't write their own music.
Okay.
They'll do a version of that. So that was another sad death. Movies. Two movies this week. One, Arrival. Go see it. Gorgeous. Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, about aliens come to the planet. They land and they need to communicate. They're trying to communicate with Earthlings. Amy Adams is a communications expert that goes to talk to him. And it was just this beautiful, emotionally satisfying, the power of communication, the power of trusting people. It was just a nice movie to see in this time of like,
kind of.
It is a little bit of a tearjerker. Really about putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and like just be, and it's the guy that wrote and directed Sicario, so this is a complete departure from this like the Mexican drug cartel movie to this alien movie that's very simply told. Like they made it for like $20, you know what I mean? It's not about aliens invading, it's aliens coming trying to communicate with Earthlings and the whole world having to come together to communicate peacefully, and it's just...
And that it's my understanding, because I mentioned I'm not, like, a huge sci-fi kind of person.
It's not really
it's
sci-fi.
Not like that.
No,
right.
It's not sci-fi at all.
Yeah, which I thought was weird, because I'm like, well, wait a minute. The way it's...
Yeah, and it's very, very personal, very emotional. It's kind of like Interstellar meets Contact without all the noise, and just the beauty of finding a way to communicate with people, and, like... Trusting a message. It's just so well done. Yeah. Yes, Helen Keller. Just like that. Get a drink.
Different.
I love my cat mittens.
Yeah. My cat mittens. I have a not funny story to talk. Can I get a donut? So then, the more serious movie that's out right now, and I don't think we talked about it a couple weeks ago, but it's called Moonlight. And this one may not be the movie to see this week.
Oh.
This one you might need a little bit of distance from, but it is the story of a young black boy growing up in Miami. It took me a while to figure out what city we were in. Growing up in Miami, bullied, persecuted, chased, has a horrible home life, it gets befriended by an older man who sees that he's in trouble and brings him to his house, whether or not he recognizes something from his childhood that he knows this boy needs some kind of shelter or safe haven, gives him somewhere safe to go, and you see this boy through the first time when he meets, and I can't remember what the man's name is, but it's the guy that plays, he's on House of Cards, and he's the guy that owns the barbecue shop. And
Freddy.
He plays Freddy. And it's just a beautiful portrayal by all of the three actors that play the main character, and then the guy, the Freddy from House of Cards, that plays his original father figure that finds him at a very, very desperate time and just gives him shelter from the storm and, like, just kind of gets that things aren't great. Janelle Monáe, whatever, the singer. She's in it.
Janelle Monáe. All the same
sense. Absolutely wonderful in this movie. And so he is everything that everyone calls him. So, like, in the first part, he's Little. That's what he goes by. In the second part, he goes by his real name. And in the third part, he goes by Black because that's what someone called him that meant something to him. And he just, it's just this beautiful story of this Black man trying to find his own identity through all of this identity crisis and, like, people just treating him personally badly. It's not, like, about the Black experience. It's about one person's struggle to find out who they are through all of the things that just anybody could go through. You know what I mean? It's told through his eyes. And so three different actors play this part at different ages. And it is, it's a little to the bone. As far as the bullying goes,
okay.
They just get it a little, and from it was hard to watch. It was a little too realistic of bullying a person in their, you know, the childhood years, then the teen years, and then what kind of man shows up at the end
when that's happened.
And it was one of the most beautiful movies I've seen.
That's not the barbecue guy though. That's the lobbyist that was sleeping with the
senator. Yeah, Remy, right? Remy.
Yeah, that's Remy.
Remy, okay.
It's not Freddy, that's Remy.
It's Remy. He's just playing a little bit older than I was expecting. That's why I kept thinking it was
Freddy.
Freddy, yeah. No. Masala, his name is Masala.
Mahershala Ali.
Mahershala Ali. Oh, but go see this movie. Just make sure.
Can a bitch get a donut?
Yeah. Just make sure you're in the right place to see it.
I'm never in the right place to see that.
Yeah. So, but and you could hear sniffling. You could hear. Sure. You could hear. And Janelle Monáe is.
Did a nice man come over and say, "Would you like a puff plus?"
I wish he would have.
Yeah.
That's my story of the week.
And Janelle Monáe is so incredibly beautiful. And when she comes on screen in this movie that's kind of like gritty and earthy and so realistic, like she almost seems ethereally beautiful. Like you're just like, what the fuck? And I couldn't place her at first, but I was like, God damn, that is a beautiful woman in the middle of all this like ugliness in life to like, you're just like, holy shit, she's pretty. So I'm sure Amina might be having a little private moment with the computer on that one.
Maybe. Well, she's gonna know.
If you have the Netflix and you have been a fan, The Fall is back with Gillian Anderson and Jamie Duran. I think that's his name.
I remember bringing it up.
Series 3, I guess is what they call it in Ireland.
Yeah, I remember you talking about it. I hadn't watched it.
It is so fucking good. Wow, hot damn, did they nail this shit down? And I was a little, it was a little tense this week because there's only 5 episodes per season or per series. So it's only like, there's not even 15 hours to watch the entirety of The Fall's run. But series 3 opens up with like, am I at work? Like it was so realistic it was the most realistic hospital setting thing into such minute detail that I'm like, okay, you can back this up. Like, people watch Grey's Anatomy. You do not need to get into this kind of detail. Right. People believe the shit that goes on in Grey's Anatomy. You can dial this back about 100 points. Because the one episode was like, okay, I'm taking my ACLS in 5 days. This was pretty spot on. I'll just watch this to study. They were on it. Like, the medicine was, like, way too detailed. Like, outside of a how-to video of, like, how to perform surgery on someone who's lost their spleen after a gunshot wound, there's no reason you should ever see that as part of a television
drama. I'm
going
to call Dr. Bailey and tell her to start watching that show.
But it was very well done. So you get, like...
I'm still watching. Don't judge me.
You get the start of...
So's Aaron.
And it's not a mystery because you always know who done it. From the very first episode, you know who it is. So it's all a cat-and-mouse game of how the detective finds her way to this bad man. And then because you've been charmed by him, because you also see it from his angle, and he's Jamie Dornan, I think is his name, and he's attractive, that you kind of sympathize with him, and he's a nice family man. It's, they kind of based it on the bind, torture, kill, killer, whatever that guy's name was. You know, the happy family man that went to church, but he was also, like, savagely murdering people.
The Kansas guy?
Yeah. Bind, torture, kill, the BK killer, whatever.
BTK.
BTK killer. Yeah. So there's all this charm. So the payoff to this is...
What does that stand for?
Yeah. Like, when it came time to for Series 3, people were like, ooh, do you think Gillian Anderson's going to sleep with him? And you're like, what the fuck show are you watching that you think that that's what the point of this is? So there's a
Is this something you can, binge watch?
Oh, it's short. There's only 5 episodes per series. It's short. Okay. So, I mean...
So, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
It's a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, it took me 2 nights to watch Series 3, and it was... And it pays off very nicely, but it's very, very slow. They talk like NPR. It's very British, very low-key, but the payoff to it is really, really worth it. I think I only had, like, 1 more thing on here. But just get yourself ready and go see Moonlight. Yeah, in New York, falsettos, and this is for Kat, falsettos, which is the 2 shows, March of the Falsettos and Falsetto Lands, was finally made into one show on Broadway called Falsettos. It's back on Broadway now. It's got Christian Boyle from Smash.
From All the Things.
And
right.
From All the Things. It's got... And
most recently in... it's the Shakespeare one. Something Rotten.
Something Rotten.
That's what he did most recently.
It's got Andrew Reynolds from Book of Mormon. It's got some really, 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 really fun songs. And then when you get hooked on them, you can find the baseball song online because they performed it at the Tony Awards, which is where Andrew Reynolds talked about falling in love with the show. It's where I fell in love with the show. It's a great, 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 great show. It's being revived now in a limited run in New York, and it's just hopefully they do a new cast recording, and it's just a delight.
It's fun. I'm gonna have to go find it.
But it's a really good cast recording of just some fun songs.
Yes.
Fun.
We need more fun.
Curious if anyone has seen the trailer for this or if they intend to go see it, because it looked fucking funny as hell and it reminded me of Woody big time, because Monique was his favorite actress, favorite comedian. But that Almost Christmas
looks so funny.
Is that the one with Aniston?
No, that's Christmas Party.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that one looks, yeah.
That looks funny, too.
But this, Almost Christmas, it's Monique, Gabrielle Union, et cetera.
I briefly saw a part of that trailer. Now that it looks funny.
It looks so funny. And like I said, Woody thought that a mutual friend of ours thought that Monique was the funniest fucking thing. And so whenever I see anything with her, I tend to pay a little bit of attention. It looks real funny. So I didn't know if that was on the radar. No, that is,
because that looks...
I think it'd be fun. And like, just to go.
Any minute now, I'm going to fall into holiday mode. The Vanessa Williams, Donna Summer Elms are going to come out. And I'm going to be dancing around my house to Star Bright by the Vanessa.
The only other thing, because I feel we'd be remiss if we don't bring it up, is Gwen Ifill, who
passed away,
had endometrial cancer. And died at 61.
Dead.
So
real dead.
Still.
Yeah.
But
finger on the pulse right here.
Yes. But that was something that just happened as well. So
she was quite private about that. She never let anybody know. Obviously people right in her circle knew, but it certainly wasn't public that she was having issues.
And she was hosting.
And she hosted one of the presidential debates in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. And
with Palin.
That's right.
Palin Biden.
That's right.
Oh, she was the VP. That was her, yep. I couldn't remember which
one
she
did. Can I call you, Joe?
Yeah.
Can I call you
a fucking idiot? Yeah, but she was actually working almost up until...
Yeah, it was just, and it was driving her crazy that she couldn't be on the air during this presidential campaign, because she was like, what?
Yeah, absolutely. But she was rather remarkable. Mm-hmm. That's all.
Just a recent passing.
The end.
Kat, did you understand when I made the joke earlier about Helen Keller and mittens? Did you get it or no?
I mean, I understood you were doing a Helen Keller joke, yes.
Right, but do you understand why?
The mittens?
Yeah, it's because of that.
You're not okay.
I hate to say it, but there's always time for a Helen Keller joke.
Just want to make sure we got that in. Ladies and gentlemen, it's come to that point in the show where it's Kat Carlson in 2 things.
There's your big intro for now.
I like it. Can a bitch get a donut?
The crowd goes wild.
That was the best intro ever.
I don't have
it takes ever. Two to make a thing go round.
I don't really have much else.
No, yeah, I don't have a whole lot prepared. I feel like
I want to by 10.
Right. I feel like I want to climb up on a soapbox, but then I also feel like I've been there all fucking week and I'm tired. I think
take another breath and it'll be two things. There you go.
Ben! No, you know, I don't know. You just gotta, I feel like we need to all figure out moving forward. Like, we've done a great job in this show.
That is not what I meant to send you.
You know, we got our shit out of our way. We've had a really great show, and I'm gonna bring it back down a little bit again. But everybody out there is gonna have to find their own way through, because the only way out is through, right?
Yeah.
And so my two things, I guess, would be, number one, do something good. Like, get up and do something, because being sat on the couch about this, about anything, isn't going to do any good.
Correct.
And number two, be better informed. Call it, that stupid clickbait is driving me insane. Insane, yes. Insane, yes. Insane.
Yes. Some of the best clickbait, though, gets me the Mechanophile story. So
right. Hilarious clickbait, but then there's misinformation. But
the people believing the clickbait. Right, right, right.
Right. Yeah. Then there's misinformation. Yeah. Like, if it's not going to hurt anybody, then by all means make a story up about it. But if this is really going to hurt people, then let's stop dealing with that. You know, I in my life, I've decided to turn off all for-profit news on television. Like, I already don't have cable, and I'm encouraging other people to watch more local news, more public news, whatever.
Watch PBS for your news.
Right. PBS is a great way to go. NPR is a great way to go. you know.
Sorry.
Newspapers. What?
Okay, there. I said,
wait, now back to the chat room.
I know. Me too. I'm like, huh? Anus.
Apparently stop something me. About Clayton's anus is happening in the chat room.
Bye,
that
man.
May be misinformation, though,
have
people.
A good
let's
day,
Google it a little bit.
Have a good day.
It's clickbait. Oh, my ass.
And
yeah, Jenny.
Yeah, so
the
I've
second
got,
thing I sent you, pay attention to. Go
so on. I've been on sorry. Kind of a bit of a media blackout for the week. I've been, you know, huddled on my couch watching old episodes of Madam Secretary and greatly enjoying right, that. Right. And also yeah. being a little bit scared of that.
I know, right. I'm like, that's too close.
You don't think we're going to get nailed with copyright infringement from NBC?
Who cares, play it.
No, because it's all over. I think everybody's playing it. Because I found it on so many different websites. But I'm saying, let's close the show with that.
Play it, play it, play
well,
it.
I understand.
At the end, yeah.
I get what you're saying. I'm just thinking.
But then you can chop it. If it's at the end, you can just chop it off.
But for this week, I'm at a little bit of a loss for anything substantive. I will find hilarious and two things and other things to rant about in the future. But for this week, I'm still just a little bit in recovery and realignment mode.
And maybe a third good thing would be to be kind.
Wait, this segment is two things, Marty.
No, but you can.
You're
jumping
the shark here.
You said three.
Three things on my website.
Really? Right, right, right. But you went to three. Don't try to confuse me.
Listen, don't overcommit me. I'm very busy.
Don't confuse me. Be
no,
kind.
No, and kindness is a huge factor. Yeah. I do have to say that on Wednesday, and it might have been because I just looked like I'd been crying all day, but I did run into a lot of very kind people just everywhere.
Sure.
In the grocery store, in, you know,
yeah.
the liquor store that I visited
well,
repeatedly.
Maybe you were there. You can't prove it.
They might have been so nice to me because I spent a month's salary there.
Right, right. Maybe.
Who's to say?
Who can say?
Who's to judge?
Yeah. No judging. No
yeah,
judgment.
A lot of kind, a little bit of kindness goes a really long way.
Very much.
It does.
Yeah.
Very much.
So find great. Something else to do because I prepared zero things for this.
Can
show.
A bitch get a donut?
Well, maybe we can end on time. We can do a thoughtful vulgarity and then.
Oh, you have a question.
Do we even.
Do you have a question?
Do we have a question?
I don't have a question. Do you
oh,
have
no,
a question?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
all right,
all right. But I think we need a dance break because I think half of us are going pee.
Marnie's one person.
I mean, I'm going too.
Oh, what the hell is up with you? You've got it's been nuts all the show
at that
for you.
Math.
What is up with you? You've been going all, I don't know.
No, I've gone twice. Now it's different.
You're allowed. Three. Right.
All right, well.
We'll you're allowed. What are we, the bladder police?
Then we'll do this.
We don't know. We don't know.
Oh, it's the wrong intro. That's the breaking news. That's what I meant.
If you think it sucks
breaking
so
news.
Far, just wait till after this 30-second dance break.
smell bacon. 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 Gotta be bacon. Only one thing smells like bacon. That's bacon. Bacon, 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 bacon. There. It's bacon.
This is the Cute Talk America Radio Network.
Sometimes you just have to play stuff for yourself, especially when people leave the studio and you don't know when the hell they're coming back.
I'm still here.
Oh my gosh. And
they're coming.
And don't forget about this lovely thing.
It's Christmas, for goodness sake. Think about the baby Jesus. Up in that tower letting his hair down. So that the three wise men can climb up and spin the dreidel and see that there's six more weeks of winter.
And enough time, and Karen Walker bridges so the gap funny. To get Al Perkins back into
of
the...
Of course.
Holy shit.
That bitch can get a donut.
I'm sure she can.
Sure she can.
Because she's
Karen Walker.
Yes, there's that. Again. All right, so you've got a question.
Chili? I do.
She's got a question. Here we go. Let's see if we can make this happen.
And now, Thoughtful Vulgarity, where we in the studio try to make ourselves slightly less shallow, which is not hard to do. We will ask one question of the panel while fucked up drunk. Because you know at home how well it goes when important questions come up several hours after alcohol has been served. Politics, religion, why not? What could possibly go wrong? Who could you offend? Good luck.
So, where do you want to... The change has to be from you. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if the world goes to hell in a handbasket, that doesn't give you permission to be shitty with it. So where are you going to, like, focus the goodness you have, like, to other people? Like, what are you going to do?
Well, I've been nice to you all show.
Hey, it's a big step.
Fair enough.
And it's very anti-Trump.
Good night, everybody. We're done.
Hey, see you next Tuesday.
Cunt. Gonna bitch get a donut.
Good time. You're not the first person who have ever said that to him, oddly, though.
Right before I got here.
I haven't killed you for 7 hours. That's a start.
Val up on 11. She's pissed.
That's charity. Well, let me tell you. The pharmacy's conspiring against me.
I think by listening more.
Okay.
I think that
talk
that's the...
less.
Well, and listening more. And hearing. Like, being able to... pay attention to whatever, because I had absolutely in my bubble no clue how fucking angry everybody was that's white. I don't mean to be an idiot.
No.
The thing that was on that was my favorite aside from Kate McKinnon, but that was on Saturday Night Live, was when Chris Rock and Dave Chappelle were laughing their asses off at the women that were in there, and that one guy that were like, you know, can't believe that this is happening, and this has never happened before, and all that, and it was fucking hysterical, because it was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of the racism piece, but I just did not realize, and I'm very much about know where your enemies are, and in that, not to make everyone an enemy, but know where your enemies are and understand what...
Maybe not enemy,
what
opposition.
Opposition. Understand what they're angry about.
Keep your friends close.
That's what
enemies closer.
Get a horse head.
Get it off.
Something.
Yeah, I got nothing.
Anyway.
It just turned into whispering.
Kindness.
Fascinating radio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, kindness. Kindness and listening.
Turns out I had no invitation ready.
The end.
Mine is the thing that I've adopted as a cause, I think, is I really think this is going to be bad for people in need. So, like, those things that come in the mail for, like, send this much money in to feed 10 people for Thanksgiving, sure. And this much for Christmas, and, like, I was about to roll my window up at somebody that was, like, asking for money at the whatever fast food restaurant drive through is, and I'm like, can I really bitch about Trump if I just roll my window up when I have money? Like,
so he hasn't taken office yet.
I know, but I was like, but I can't. I seriously, in good conscience, can't bitch about Trump being an asshole while I roll up my window over somebody asking for food. So I'm like, I just doubled my order. I'm like, whatever, you just...
Sure.
Can you just do it twice and put it in another bag and just gave it to the guy? Because nice. I'm like, yeah. You're getting water. I'm not buying it's you nice. Soda. Right. I got to draw the line somewhere. Right. But
it's very health conscious of you.
Yeah.
But I prefer that rather than giving money from the standpoint of... If you,
but if I
you
have
want,
money, I can't really, you know what I mean? I can't be judgy against Trump for not considering someone's needs if I'm going to be this, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that I would rather give food than give money from a standpoint of, you're going to eat.
But I rarely have cash on me. So.
Right, I'm not giving you cash that you can go buy a bottle with or drugs or whatever.
If that's what you're begging for, so would I. You know what I mean? I'd want a bottle of wine to give me you this week, too.
There was a meme that was awesome, and it said, you chastised me for wanting to give somebody, or for not giving someone the money because they were holding a sign that said, need money for beer. You act like I wasn't going to use it for that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
That's and, where I was going to buy.
I was
going
to do that. Yeah. So what is it? They were being honest, you know?
I can't handle being employed, white, with my own house and car without alcohol and a little bit of pot. Right. Why am I expecting the guy that's homeless and hasn't had a shower in 2 days? Why can I be judgy about him? Get what you need. If I have cash on me, like, that's just got to be what it, you know what I mean? Like, we gotta stop that with people of being like, well, you got nice shoes on. They're willing to stand in the corner and beg for money. I got a buck. Mm-hmm. You can have it. I have enough to spare.
Sure.
I cannot roll up my window in this world. Like, the world has just come to that place where, like, rolling up my window and being judgy about it and like, no. Then we might as well all be Donald Trump at that point. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Then we're just fat pigs living in gold palaces.
Orange.
Yeah, no one does.
I just got a new hairdresser. I am not. I refuse.
And I don't even sense a comb over there. So I mean, that was my little soapbox, but it really did hit me that day as I was about to roll up my window of like, wow, I have nothing to say about anybody if I'm going to roll up my window on someone who's just asking for food. Like, I don't know. Then that's where it hit me. And so all of a sudden, I went home and I wrote that little check to the people for the, like, this feeds 30 people. It's like $2. Not the $2, but it's like $2 per person. They get a Thanksgiving meal. Like, fine.
No. Yep.
It's probably better turkey than they're going to give us at the hospital that night. So,
even if it is actually turkey.
The stuff at the hospital is not turkey.
Sodium-free, taste-free.
Got enough gravy on it, though.
Ooh, so. I do enjoy gravy.
And then my sodium the next day is like 600.
I have had gravy on a waffle.
Ooh, Phoenix Public Market. Biscuits and gravy with chorizo and a spicy gravy is delicious.
Okay, this is cracking me up where it just went. Yeah. Did you catch that at all?
Because we're giving people food.
Because I appreciate it. Well, I fed somebody. I'm going to go eat that. Good Lord.
Phoenix.
I've been eating fortune cookies over here.
Chorizo. Traditional Fair spelling. Enough.
Traditional spelling, yeah.
Chorizo.
Can a bitch get a donut's what I said?
I like chorizo.
He would have got two meals if he would have said, can a bitch get a donut into my window? Go ahead.
Clayton McKee, what's your plan to make the world a better place?
I like how we've gone completely bass-ackwards this week. Yeah. I don't know. It's a new...
This is Trump's America. We go clockwise.
I have a reminder for the entire chat room.
I honestly couldn't remember who went next after she went. So I was like, I guess I jump in here. Oh, and I go last. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll work for
noodles. The pot's working for you.
Last week was rough. I forgot a lot of stuff.
I think one thing that everybody kind of had to realize, and it may sound small, but everybody realized that the next morning, sun came up.
Yeah.
And the next morning, I got in my truck and I ran errands like I do every day. And the next morning, I checked my email and I watched the news. Like, encouraging people, like, low time. Getcha. It's going to be a low time until we get the orange motherfucker in the office on the 20th of January. Then we got to deal with a lot of shit for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Everything that you do already, keep doing it.
Yeah.
Don't stop. Check your mail. Play with your cats, your dogs, your kids. Go to the meeting if you want to go. Don't go if you don't want to go.
Grab a little pussy.
Yeah, apparently.
What? Play with your cats. I thought that was
Oh,
God.
But
damn, give me a donut.
In addition to that, it's, I think, one of the things we've used the phrase for some reason, piggyback a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know why on this. But I think what Kat has started is right. You've got to remind people, yeah, that's the highest office of the land, and I get that. But you don't get there, most people don't get there without going through a lot of other iterations of offices, be it mine inspector, dog catcher, county recorder, mm-hmm. mayor, city council, whatever you go up, get the fuck involved, or at minimum pay attention.
Yeah.
At minimum, pay attention. If you don't want to do it, and I get it, not everybody's cut out to serve, not everybody's cut out to do that kind of thing, but pay attention to what's going, like you keep saying, vote local. Pay attention to what's going on around you. So I would encourage more people to get on board with local people who, if you think they're doing right and or wrong, vote, voice your opinion, and try to make a change in that aspect.
And as we talk about this as the grieving process that it has been for many people, if you've not had a large loss in your life or never lost a loved one, the shocking thing the day after is that the sun came up, the people did the news. Even though you're suffering from a mm-hmm. personal tragedy of a loved one, it comes as a shock. It's abrasive almost.
Yeah.
That how is that happening?
There is a song that Reba McEntire did when her...
I don't think fancy applies here.
No, it's not fancy. No. You all will remember that many years ago, Reba McEntire lost her entire band in a plane crash.
She died there too.
No.
It's been a drag queen ever since.
No.
I can't believe we're going to bring it back to the Reba McEntire theory.
The name of the song is "The World's Not Going to Stop for My Broken Heart," which is what you're basically saying.
Yes.
You may be suffering through whatever.
Episode one. In case there wasn't a second show, really I had to get point. My Reba theory in.
Who the hell's Ray J? Ray, thank you. Got it. And drag queens are now all Reba McEntire.
He's got his finger on the pulse. Of
Reba McEntire. Reba McEntire. That ain't her.
No. But it's a very good point.
He's got a point. She seems taller.
And the shoulders and are you know suddenly what? Larger.
She's fancy.
She's fancy. Fancy applies. Not always applicable.
I got call forward and call waiting.
I think his name is John.
Difference, wow.
You can't always bring up fancy just because you want to. But that is. So I think we're at the acceptance part of grieving. I don't know what part laughing at Reba McEntire.
No, you have to listen to a whole day of Reba songs to get through it. And then once you've done that.
But anger hasn't hit yet, so I'm waiting to see who I lash that one out at.
Oh, that's going
to
be
a lot of fun.
But in case you're not a friend of mine on Facebook, just remember when you're confronting someone that's supporting Trump, just say to them, you know, I think he represents you very well.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a nice secretly shitty.
Walk away.
I love that.
You don't have to go to HR. No, no one's going to fire you.
Oh, I like that we're putting little legalities in there.
I know it. It's good.
You have to go to HR.
There's a couple of coworkers that I'm waiting to spring that one on.
Uh-huh. I enjoy that.
I'm hoping that the anger...
Supplies!
I'm hoping that the anger phase of grief hits when they're near me.
Yeah.
He's going to throw Reba McEntire as a tranny. And
drag queen.
Drag queen, whatever.
It's different.
Yeah, it's different.
And he represents you well. Hostile.
Yeah.
Christ.
Some crazy drag queen.
Young man, what would you like to say about this?
Sir?
What was the question?
How does fancy affect you?
What's your favorite Reba McEntire song?
You know?
And how does it affect your week?
Welcome back, honey.
When I shivered as I watched the roach crawl across the toe of my shoe.
Okay,
the real question is, what good are you going to do and how are you going to make it better? I am going to dive right in. I don't know 100% what that looks like yet. I really do feel like I need to run for something.
Community organizer.
Right. I'm
so
very
we're not
Obama
just writing
in
you
Thank
in
you.
Any longer.
We're gonna
become a real.
We're gonna figure that out. We're gonna figure out what the thing is,
right.
And I should probably finish a college degree.
Yep. I don't know that that's.
It's not necessarily a prerequisite because let me tell you, if Nancy Bartow can get elected.
Well, and while you're doing that, maybe we should go to school together. I'll become the civil rights attorney I always wanted to be, and
that's
then
fantastic.
We can like. You know?
Yeah.
I'm
figuring any degree
that.
Will do at this point.
Because you have some soft
time.
Edges and you'd cry all the time.
Oh, I really would. You're right.
That's
you
true.
Would. I'm not saying your passion wouldn't be there, but I can just see you get up in court. Now, granted, you may win all the time.
I'm telling you.
The lesbian is crying, Your Honor.
Does anyone have a pups plug?
There's no crying in civil rights.
But I'm fancy. Nancy.
There's no crying in civil rights. I don't think that was on.
I was going for a Tom Hanks pair.
Yeah, it was a good try.
So crying in baseball?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, oh.
Yeah,
oh,
I got that's where I was going. It wasn't working.
With your lovely complexion, I think skincare. No, I would say. That's right, bright green tomatoes.
Yeah,
I would say start with the school board. It's what you're active in. You're already avoiding the PTA and the drinking moms. You guess, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's a good place to start, we'll see, and it affects you the most, likely, because you have children in the system.
And it's not an immediate thing. Like, there's some things that I have to get through first. I have to figure out first. That's not an immediate thing. For now, I'm building a website and spreading the
Which
word.
Which is a great place to start.
It is, and it's a good. It is to get those people. Okay, you like Kitchen 24. Yeah. So.
No. So I'm working. I'm a worker bee. I'm doing the things. I work.
Nope, fantastic.
There it is.
Well done.
And as you meet people that come in the bar, once I'm talking about, hey, let's talk about local politics, where you live, where you're voting, what do you know?
All the time. I've already convinced about half of them to refer to me as the congresswoman.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
No. And, however,
I'm sorry, answer the phone.
Now she's pushing this.
And no one cares.
Now you got to call the bar because I answer it, hello, Cobalt, please hold for the congresswoman.
There's never, what is the expression?
Hi, this is Kat.
There's never
you?
A bad reason to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So if you trick them into doing the right thing, doesn't matter. You got them there. You know what I mean? If you make them think it's part of drinking and sort of fun and they get involved in local politics and all of a sudden they're helping people get out the vote and they think they're just drinking at a bar, God love them.
Listen, local politics happen in local bars. Like, that's a thing.
That's literally
what happened since the beginning of America.
And that's why you didn't used to be able to drink until the polls closed, was because they didn't want you going into a bar, getting drunk, and getting your opinion swayed.
Oh, smart.
And having people buy you drinks to get you to go vote for them at the end. They got rid of all those laws because everybody was like, that was a good thing. Why did we get rid of that?
Right.
That was the smartest thing we ever did. Why get rid of that?
So there it is.
All right. We are going to end with something Al Perkins decided that we should end with. So we're going to go to that. But as we toss to that, we will leave you with this parting thought. We will...
See you next Tuesday.
Wow, that sounded somber.
Yeah.
Isn't it though? Well, you chose it, bitch.
Oh.
Heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift, the baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Maybe I've been here before, I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. I've seen your flag on the marble arch, and love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I did my best, it wasn't much. I couldn't feel, so I tried to touch. I told the truth, I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I'm not giving up, and neither should you. And live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Listening to the show on Q Talk America.